United Nations is welcoming the 5 billionth person alive in the world.
The White House today denies reports the U.S. sent weapons-related equipment to Iran as late as last month. The recent scandal at the PTL ministry are taking a toll on the credibility.
Kim Baker resigned.
Well, WSOM.
And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Well, good morning and welcome to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Hope you're having a good day today. And I am, do you hear me? No, I can't hear you. Oh, this is why. Hold on. This will work. Hi. Ha ha. Hey, it's 7 minutes after the hour of 9 o'clock here on WSOM AM 600, and the number is 347-945-5229. Six is in studio with me, and we're going to have a busy day today, and it won't be a busy day talking about what's going on in the news, but it'll be a busy day talking about what's going on here in the Valley in the next couple of days. We've got a breast cancer awareness team. They're going to come in at 9:30. At, I think, 10 o'clock, I have the men's rally in the Valley, and I think at 10:30, we're going to talk about oil and gas in the future. And then maybe probably 11 o'clock, we'll kick into whatever's going on in the day. But I do want to speak to my sentiments, and so because you may have seen my comments on Facebook, and so I need to really clear this up so you really understand where my thoughts are when it comes to Donald Sterling, the Los Angeles Clippers owner, his thoughts and the repercussions of the NBA. I think what Donald Sterling says and he thinks about people of color and how he has been a racist or been discriminatory in his past, I think it is a bad thing. It is awful. But it is real. And with that realism, he's not the only one. And I believe that we make decisions here in America based on emotion and not based on logic and not based on looking at the future. In America, a man has the right to freedom of speech. If he had put signs on the outside of his doors and he had said a lot of things about, you know, what his sentiments, it would have been different. For some reason, because his conversation has gone public, we think that it was a public conversation, and it was not. With that said, people have known, and in the NBA, they have known for years how he actually was. This was not news to a lot of people. This is not the first time that he had been sued. This is not the first time this has happened. This is not the first time. I just want you to understand, this is not the – people knew. Other NBA owners knew. And because of the publicity now, no one wants to speak out and say the truth about this. But in a world that we call America, and it's the United States of America, a man has the right to say as he feels in the privacy of his own conversations. And when you punish him publicly because you don't like what he says and what he stands for, then we have a problem because it's coming to a place near you. I am a black person. I am not brainwashed by the right. I am not thinking something different. I am not a person that thinks that racism is gone. But what I am saying is making a man sell a team that he paid $13 million for that has a cash value of $700-plus million today, thinking that a $2.5 million fine is going to hurt him, we are off our rockers. And there was a better way to skin this cat than to make it to where you take a man's private industry, his business, and you actually make him move, ban him from. All you have to do is just don't go. All you have to do is turn out the lights, say that you avoid your contract with the Clippers at the Staples Center. Sponsors, turn off your lights and say you will not sponsor him. And fans, no matter how much you love them, say you don't go. And players, all you got to do is say, we quit. It's just that easy. Can you just say, like Teddy Pendergrass, turn out the lights? But it was a private conversation. And I don't think his private conversation should be punished publicly because you don't like what they say. Because I have a problem with this. It's going to come to a place near you. You know, you can't punish me because I think something or I don't like something or I say something in a private conversation. Now, I may get beat up because I said this publicly. And it's not because I agree with his comments. It's not because I am sympathizing with him. What I'm saying is, as Americans, we have the right to the freedom of speech. And with that right, when you take it away and when you censor it the way we are doing, it is going to come back and it is going to bite us in the tuchus. And we need to be cautious. And we may not see the repercussions of this today, but in the future, because you didn't do anything to him. Let me go back to Imus in the morning. Tell me what in the world, with all of the stuff that went on with Imus with the nappy-headed hose, what did you do to him? It was a bump in the road, and he's on right before me. Did you change anything? And for them to sit up and act like this is something new, they knew about him and they know about others. There are people in the NBA, NFL, as well as the National Baseball League who have the same sentiments as him. There are business owners. There are people around. And don't think when you go up there and you're going to see a lot of black people in the boxes. If you see a lot of black people, you'll see a lot of black women because they're trying to screw them. But it's not because they're in love with black people. Now, those are my thoughts, so somebody can call Beatrice so he can really understand that this is not about, Sticks is looking at me like, what are you saying? I got into a conversation on Facebook with Beatrice last night. And for those of you who do not know who Beatrice is the Mahoning County Chair. He went through a situation last year that floored him.
Is that Mr. Buckwheat?
No, that's Mr. Hagan.
Okay.
And what I'm saying is, if you don't like someone, there's a better way to do it. Because what we're doing right now ain't working. It's not changing the mindset of white America. It's not making them say, you know what, I think I need to embrace black people more. I need to know better about them. What it does is invokes fear, and people that are afraid run away. So now they don't even want you around, period. This is not going to change anything. And I'm just saying what white people want to say out loud, but they're afraid to. You've been listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Six, I'm going to let you off the hook because I didn't talk to you about this before I said it. And Alabama, you're on the phone.
What's the deal? What you all riled up for in the morning? What didn't happen?
I don't like when organizations deal with private business in the way that they did with Donald Sterling. This was not the way to handle this. They should have turned off the light. They should have made him cry, Uncle. But what they did, what? It was good PR.
This is the thing right here. And my thing is, would it be emotionally? Yeah, I don't mind seeing the guy lose his team. I think because he wanted to have a plantation with a bunch of Southern. But, I mean, you know, this guy got it, literally would say stuff like that. I don't like to see people like that. However, I have Christian views. I have pro-black views that one day may come into question by mainstream America with this post-racial America, so to speak. So, I mean, you know, the guy, what's his name, Kevin Johnson, mentioned Jason Collins alongside Jackie Robinson as if Jason Collins did something anywhere remotely close to what Jackie Robinson did. It's not even close. So, we got to be careful. We're on a slippery slope when we're trying to part someone with their own personal property. I know you want to call us Uncle Ruckus for saying that, but look, man, I disagree with the principles. I'm glad to see him lose his team if he loses it. But now, next time they get you on, if they get me as an owner on tape saying, you know, quoting the scripture, you know, homosexual shall not inherit the kingdom of God, that means I need to lose my job or property?
That's what I'm saying.
Are you guys aware Bryant Gumbel said this was the worst kept secret in the NBA for years?
They knew it. This ain't new. Did anybody ask Dr. Buss how he felt about black people?
Who?
Dr. Buss owns the Los Angeles Lakers.
You worked for that man.
I know. I ain't talking about something I ain't read.
Well, people need to know that.
No, they don't. People can feel how they want to feel.
How did he feel?
No, what I meant was people need to know that when you speak from a position of authority, of knowledge, first-hand knowledge.
I've been around
first-hand knowledge.
And they suck up the black people all day long, and they got no use for them but to shine their shoes. Can you say Elvis Presley?
the best thing to do would have been to just let those guys be free agents and lost all his guys next year. He moves everybody. Nobody would go for that. It's a racist team. And then it's a mockery of a team, and it goes back down to $200 million worth of worth. He loses $400 billion. That would have been good, too. It's not always take it and give it to Magic. Magic's thinking about his own pocket. Magic doesn't really – Magic's being Magic. He just wants to get over from this. I mean, I'm just –
Magic's a businessman. So, Magic's looking at the dollars, and he's always wanted to own a team, and he'll never get the Lakers.
The pressure has been set now. If I was the owner of Washington Redskins, I'd be very nervous. Because now it's going to be like, look, change the name of your team, or we're going to kick you out the league and make you sell your team.
See, but I'm trying to tell you, this is not a good thing.
But see, that's the thing. They can vote. They can vote on anything they don't like. And there's the homosexuals have more power than black people. So you say something anti-gay, you can lose everything. And I'm going to be honest with you. All you got to do is listen back, play some tape on this show, and I'll probably lose it if I ever own a franchise. It'll tell her what, I'll have women, all type of stuff coming after me, because my views aren't mainstream. Sometimes people have to tell the truth. People don't want to hear the truth. Now, I ain't saying he was telling the truth in what he said, but it was very interesting in how he looks at economics, and I think we need to look at it like he does.
Alabama, I only got 30 minutes. You cannot have all 30. Hold on.
What you have to remember, too, is his statements not only apply to black people. A lot of billionaires believe that about everybody who works for them.
That is true.
I give you, I give you, I give you. They believe that they own you because they give you a job, which they don't really give you a job. If you're worth what you're getting paid, they're not doing you any favors. It's a mutual
mentality.
And the thing is, they have brainwashed our entire society. That's why we're having this fight over minimum wage.
Go ahead, Eric.
Well,
hold on, Alabama. Go ahead, Eric. Private caller, your mic is on. I only have
I was going to say, I'm glad they did what they did. I mean, I understand what you're saying, but this is the NBA. You got your opinions, and the people who work for them got their opinions.
And that's true.
He's not losing no money. When he sells that team, he's going to have a whole bunch of money, so he's not losing no money.
This is not about him.
Like
so what did they do?
Like Mendenhall, who came out and spoke and said something, and they took his money away from him.
But they can't take his money. That's the point. This is what I'm saying. They're setting a precedent. You cannot take my business because of and remember, it was a private conversation. It was not a public conversation, and everybody knew he was a racist wackadoodle. This was not new.
It didn't catch up with it.
What's going to happen to the Kansas City Chiefs, the Cleveland Indians, the Washington Redskins?
Yeah. We should do that.
It's gonna cause a rumble. What I'm saying is, this is gonna go deeper, and it's gonna infiltrate into churches and into organizations, and it's going to take away the freedoms of America.
Yeah, because it's going. I mean, all this. If you look at the history, this stuff always starts with minorities, and ends up with homosexuals.
And it rolls over.
And it's gonna roll over. And the next thing that you're gonna see is you're gonna see somebody like a Joel Osteen or a John Hagee say something. Well, John Hagee says it in public about homosexuals.
He's not gonna say it, but John Hagee's gonna get slapped.
Yeah. And is that what we want in this country? And they were talking about the cell phone searches this morning, and I never even thought about this. What if Martin Luther King would have had a cell phone, and the police could have just searched it at random?
But this is a broad thing here. This is a private conversation. People are recording conversations all day long.
Yeah.
And getting a leaked conversation out, I can get a leaked conversation out from you just by you calling me without you even knowing. And have you ever heard this? This call may be recorded for quality assurance. They ain't trying to fix the quality. They're trying to make sure that they have all the information that they need if you need to go after them.
I could bait you, Tracy, into saying something about blacks. I could bait any black person. I don't care, conservative, every black person has said something about white people in a certain way that they probably wouldn't like it. Every black person, everybody, Republican, every black conservative has said, man, these whatever, they didn't use the word crack or something. I'm telling you.
We said something. Absolutely.
Well, you follow somebody around long enough, you can slice and dice conversations, and you can make them say anything
you want. No, I don't have to slice and dice. If you catch me and I'm at home or I'm on the phone in private conversation with someone else and I'm not on the air and I'm not doing Tracy and Friends, there's no telling what you might hear come out of my mouth.
Hold on. When it calms down, everybody's going to start saying, you know what, we need to think. These owners need to think twice because Michael Jordan, of all people, I know he done said some real bad stuff about black people. Like, I mean, just out his own, he's black too, so I guess it don't count. But Michael Jordan hate black women. Like, he really do. So,
well, Cuban already said this is a slippery slope.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. So it's coming. And I think these owners, if they go and make an emotional vote, look, man, my thing is,
no,
racist.
Man, Alabama, sweetie.
Listen,
you
got to
understand. No. Wait, hold on, Eric. No player, even if they believe what I believe, there's no way for them not to come out and not support them banning him because the political public nightmare will cause them dollars. And they do not want to be aligned with Sterling. So they cannot do anything. So it will probably be a 99-1 percentage. And that 1% is going to be Donald Sterling himself. Because there's no way that they can get up there and say anything positive, even if they don't like what's going on. Because they'll be crucified. And again, it takes away from the freedoms of America. Go ahead, Eric.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I said what I said about the Redskins, the Kansas City Chiefs, the Cleveland Indians. I mean, are they going to be forced to change their names or have to sell their team and be banned from the leagues?
Absolutely.
That's sad.
Absolutely. I'm telling y'all, it's a slippery, bad slope.
And another thing we got to look at, this guy, if you gave him $600 million cash, he still has power, wealth, and influence, regardless. He still can affect influence over a weak people. Who's weak? The people he was talking about. So when I say, and I've been on Facebook saying this, and I've been attacked by who? The weak people, saying, you need to listen. You know, they ain't going to say Nazi color. Sometimes when I start talking about group economics, people start talking about, I'm having hatred in my face. Why don't you go tell that to the Asians that's blocking out and trying to run black hair owners out of business?
Don't. Alabama, I only have 30 minutes. We'll call. Your mic is on.
Hey, good morning, Tracy.
Good morning.
You know what? I'm kind of double-sided about that. But one thing that I do not agree with, and I think this is really going on, and the public really probably needs to look at this, is that if someone has the ability to tap into your own private home and listen to everything that you're saying, for the first time, you said something that I agree with. You liable to hear anything. You know what I'm saying? What you do at home, you know what I'm saying, and what you do outside is two different things. In your house, you may have your home attitude. When you go to work, you got your professional work attitude and things like that. They should not be allowed.
This man, listen, they've been laughing at his racist jokes for the last 30 years.
But the point is, right, I understand that.
They knew he was like this. They may not have been able to do anything about it. And if they wanted to get him, they should have gone another way.
Right, the point that I'm trying to make, though, is that nobody should be allowed to tap into your privacy because they can hear you saying, like you just said, they can hear you saying anything that normal people would say. They should not be allowed to do that. And, you know, that's just all wrong. That's the side that I'm talking about. Now, as far as him making those racist comments, I'm kind of up in the air about that, but.
But it was a private conversation.
A private conversation. So I'm.
It was a listen, and he was recording it because he was saying things and he was forgetting, or for whatever reason.
Right.
But it was a private conversation.
Right.
And I don't know if she was recording it. I don't know how it got out. But it was a private conversation. Right. It was like Tracy, me sitting in my living room and talking to my boyfriend.
Hey, Tracy.
Tracy, let me interject something, though. Everybody's calling these guys. I saw a thing on Facebook. They put their faces on a bunch of slaves in my 12 years at Clipper. I have an issue with that because my thing is this. If you don't want to play professional basketball, quit. You just want to, I mean, if you really don't sign a contract and quit, you're making $100 million and you screaming that you're a slave. Like, I'm sick of it. Like, my thing is, I played ball, I played overseas, I would have killed to play in the NBA. And I think sometimes we as black, some of these black athletes need to quit crying. Quit going out here spending your money in these strip clubs with all these strippers, having five or six baby mamas, being broke in 2 or 3 years, living like kings, and you talking about you a slave? Just because you sign a contract saying that you, man, get up out of here. I'm sorry. Most people in this country, it ain't a soul in this country that wouldn't play for $100 million contract.
They knew what they were getting into, because remember there was a lawsuit. I'm going to say it was Baylor who sued him,
mm-hmm.
and he got some money and he shut up and he never said a word. See, if you want to make a statement, you won't sell out for the cash.
Hey, Tracy.
Yes.
Bill sends us a message on Facebook, and it says, consider this like a pendulum. If any crime or violation of privacy is acceptable as long as it exposes racism, could there be a future where all racism is ignored?
Pretty deep thought.
I mean, you call Wolf enough, pretty soon everybody says, you know what, I'm done.
But see, this is not a wolf.
I understand
this
that.
Is a,
but what
this
I'm saying
is a real.
Is, but I think what he's trying to say is, you get to a point where the racism will go so far underground, you'll never find it.
Listen, it already is. Again, let me say this. This Sterling has been this way for years. It ain't new. And
right.
There's others.
Right.
There's others.
Worst kept secret in the NBA.
The jokes that are out there, this is not new. The commissioner
is
new.
Tracy,
they've been laughing at how he and for a long time. Yeah.
Tracy, there's this guy that I was watching this documentary about Martin Luther King, and the guy was like, Martin Luther King hadn't seen him in a few days. They had got locked up. So when he got out, Martin Luther King met him somewhere. He was laying on the bed. Martin Luther King came in there and said, nigga, where you been? Like that. So and they laughed, you know, about it because it was no big deal. But so what are you saying? I mean, how far does this need to go? Because, you know, look, as a black person, I don't have no problem with a black person saying the word nigga. But
hey,
it just depends
you,
on what the outrage. Because
not
even they come
N-word.
Out the black players. They coming out the black players in the league for saying nigger in the NFL. Now
Alabama.
it's getting crazy.
Alabama, ease up. Ease up. Don't say the N-word that often on my show. I don't get to say the N-word all that often on my show. Even though they're saying it on the NBA floor. Ease up. Put the N-word. Politically correct. I know. We're just trying to. Because other people are listening, and it is a word that is uncomfortable for many. And if we're trying to take it out of the main market street, then we shouldn't put it out there like that. I'm just saying. Hey, listen, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSAM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Tonight. I've got to take a break. I have
Mike, I
got to
come back after that one. Hello?
Yeah? You got to do what?
Man, you gone, Tracy. Tracy, call.
I ain't gone. I'm still out. Air. What?
I'm waiting on you to go, man, because I disagree with you.
I'm
going to
take a break. Can I take a break? I know you disagree
Bye.
With me, but I got to be politically correct. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you
Hey, she done muted the mic finally.
safety or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
I will be right with you as soon as I come back with my break.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is at the grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the thick and muddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce, the full cup of love.
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a cup of love.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
The women of Warren and the surrounding areas now have a choice for affordable glamour. Charlie's Consignment Boutique on East Market Street in Warren has a fine selection of reasonably priced women's clothing, as well as clothes for men and children. You'll also find a great selection of shoes for everyone. Our consignment shop stocks jewelry and accessories and cosmetics by Mary Kay. Charlie's Consignment Boutique in Warren. Call 330-766-5778 now to schedule a complimentary facial. 408 East Market Street in Warren.
One Health Ohio presents the Mother-Daughter Tea for Breast Cancer Awareness at the Youngstown Community Health Center on Wick Avenue, Saturday, May 3rd from 10 till 1. Have a cup of tea and learn how easy prevention can be. Stop by the educational stations, register for gift baskets, enjoy refreshments, and see the presentations by the American Cancer Society, Tiffany Breast Care, and Breast Cancer Survivors. Sponsored by the NFL and the American Cancer Society. For more details on this free event, call 330-747-9551.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you know what happiness is to you.
Because I'm happy.
Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Hey, go.
Bring me down.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And I got to tell you, I am sitting here, and I've got two. I was telling Spitz I got too many headsets over here.
She's changed them like jewelry.
Yeah, every time I pick up
like
a headset.
Earrings. You're changing headsets like,
tell me,
like
every
trying
time,
on earrings in the morning.
That's what I'm saying. Every time I pick up a headset, I can't hear. And then I'm going, what in the world? I'm not connected. Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. We have some people from Northeast Ohio. And One Health Ohio, which is a community center and dental center here in the Mahoning Valley. And they're going to be having a mother-daughter tea on Saturday, May the 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 1. And good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you this morning?
Doing pretty well.
Wonderful.
Hey, welcome to Tracy and Friends. Who's with me?
This is Dr. Kristen Himes. I'm a physician, family practice physician over at One Health, Ohio.
Hi, Kristen.
And
Dr. Kristen Himes.
And I'm Morgan Collins-Rosa, and I'm an LPN here at One Health, Ohio.
And you said Morgan?
Yes.
Good morning, Morgan. How are you guys? Tell us a little bit what's going to happen on Saturday and who you guys are and why this is so very, very important.
Well, on Saturday we have it's a second event that we're doing this year, and it's before Mother's Day to kind of promote awareness to mothers, daughters, cousins, sisters, aunts, everybody about breast cancer and how it's so important to get screened for this disease. We'll have very many vendors there from the American Cancer Society, Joni Abdu. We'll also have Pink Promises from Boardman Medical Supply there, and Southern Care, which is a hospice center. We'll have our mobile van, who is the Tiffany Breast Care. They have a mobile mammo van, and we'll have our mobile van there, to do breast exams, as well as, food and teas and free giveaways as well.
Tell me why this is so important, early detection, and really understanding that doing breast exams and getting it done, it is paramount to your quality of life.
Well, I think I'll field this one. Breast cancer is very prevalent in our society. It's basically 1 in 8 women will be diagnosed with breast cancer in their lifetime. It's the most common cancer second to non-skin cancers. And it is the second leading cause of cancer death in North American women. Roughly 230,000 new cases of breast cancer are diagnosed yearly. And of that, 40,000 deaths routinely will occur. So, it's important. It's a big problem in our society, and it's something that, if we can catch early, it's treatable, and it's something that we can prevent, and we can decrease the incidences, we can decrease the deaths.
Let me ask this. Women are scared, and they have a fear of finding out that they have breast cancer.
Yes.
And so they ignore it,
yes,
hoping that it'll just go away.
And it doesn't. It just grows and festers and can metastasize, and that's where you don't want it to go. So we need, as a physician, and as practitioners, we need to decrease the fear. Yeah, it does. It hurts. A mammogram, it doesn't feel great, but it can prevent you from having a lot of pain and discomfort and cancer down the road. So, for a couple minutes of pain, it could save your life. So it's truly a very important test.
What age should I actually begin breast exams and mammograms? Can you tell me the ages? Because when you listen to television, they're all over the place.
Yeah, and that's a good question. Within the last several years, there's been some differing opinions, because breast cancer screening is expensive, albeit important, but, there's been lots of false positives, and false positives can lead to testing that's more invasive and more expensive and painful, and it doesn't necessarily need to be. So, there's different screening modalities. You can do something like breast self-exams. And, we used to tell people that we want you to test. We want you to screen monthly. This is how we want you to do it. This is exactly the steps that you need to take, and this is how we want it done, and this is the time. And, you need to do it every month at the same time. And we've kind of become a little more lax on that because of the things that I had mentioned. But breast self-exams, while they don't reduce mortality, death of breast cancers, when you know what your body is when it's normal, then you have a higher incidence or a greater chance of knowing what an abnormality is. So, when women are in the shower and they're soaked up, it's a good idea to feel your breast, to feel your breast tissue. And your breast tissue isn't just the fatty tissue that you feel. It's the tissue from your clavicle, your collarbone, down to below your breast tissue, from under your arm all the way over to your breastbone. So, it's a lot of tissue to feel. But, that's one of the ways that you can do it. You don't have to do it at the same time every month. Just, when you're in the shower, like I said, feel around. When you know what normal is, then you know what abnormal is. Clinical breast exams, usually starting at age 20, we recommend that you have them every 3 years. And this kind of coincides with pap smears. So if you have a normal pap and, you know, you have your pap every 3 years, then your doctor will do a breast exam. After that, at age 40, we start to recommend them annually. The clinical breast exam done by a physician should not replace a mammography screening. And again, like I said, that there's a little bit of a gray area surrounding that, but we typically recommend that starting at age 40, women who desire to have mammograms should have them annually. So from age 40 to roughly age 74, you should have yearly mammograms.
On Saturday, and it's going to mm-hmm. and it's going to be held at the Youngstown Community Health Center, which is located on Wick Avenue, which is located right next to Ursuline. It starts at 10 o'clock mm-hmm. in the morning, and it goes until 1, and it's free and open to the public. You're going to be talking about this more in depth and giving out information so that because you, there is a way to do a self breast exam. There is it's more than just trying to find out what's going on. It's that you can know the difference and know when you need to go see your physician. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. And know that there's resources available. If you don't have insurance, that doesn't mean anything. There's plenty
right.
of resources
you,
out there that you can get something done.
If you have insurance, we have, because this is going to be sponsored by the NFL grant and the American Cancer Society, they were gracious enough to let us have 150 vouchers for women who don't have insurance and don't have any other way to pay to get a mammogram done for free. So if the ladies come out to this event on Saturday or any time, you know, we have the MammoVan that comes to our locations that here in Warren and Youngstown that they don't have a way to pay for their mammogram, I'm able to give them a free voucher to get that mammogram done, you know, to get that first step to see, you know, for the awareness of breast cancer. And
you're telling me I have
nothing,
no
obligation or anything like that.
I have no excuse.
No, none at all.
None,
and not only that,
nobody
you can have a lovely lunch
to avoid this.
In camaraderie. There'll be a lot of women there. We shouldn't only promote breast cancer awareness in October. I think this is a fantastic idea, and Mother's Day is a wonderful time of the year to remind women that this is so important and this needs done. So, you know, you can absolutely tell your friends, tell your mom, tell your aunt, tell your cousins, tell your sisters how important it is, and to stop out and see us and say hi, and like I said, have some fantastic food and meet some wonderful women and learn all about women and breast
cancer.
Be
a great, it'll be a great Saturday out, just, you know, for the girls.
Yes. Yes, absolutely.
A girl's day out.
Mm-hmm.
Right, yes.
When you look at what's going on and with women, you know, because we celebrate this, you know, they talk about breast cancer awareness in October and then it goes away. But I agree with doing this, you know, with Mother's Day and doing a mother-daughter tea and actually understanding that it's important that you bring mom out and mom bring daughter out
mm-hmm.
and doing together as a family and as a way to bond.
Absolutely. And it's a way for mothers to teach their daughters that it's important to take care of yourself and to be proactive with your health and know that, like I said, that screening is available. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to have routine insurance. You don't have to, have something that, you know, you don't have to worry about the expense of a test. There are ways around that, and there are ways that organizations like One Health Ohio can help, and you can get the screening that you need. We have wonderful access to healthcare, and it's a matter of taking the step and taking the initiative, coming out and seeing us on Saturday, and possibly making an appointment, following up with one of our physicians or nurse practitioners in our sites. You know, we have sites in Warren. We have two sites here in Warren. We have the main site in Youngstown. We have a site in Lyons, and we have pediatric offices. There's a lot of access to care. It's just taking the initiative and finding us.
And for more information, if people want to call, can they call a number, or do they have to RSVP, or can they just show up?
No, there's no RSVPing for the event. They can just show up, you know, between the 10 and 1 o'clock time. If they want to call, they can call our main office. The number there is 330-747-9551, and they can call that number and make an appointment for any location that's nearest to them.
How important is it that, because this is sponsored by the NFL.
Yes.
How important is it that men encourage their wives and girlfriends to go and get a mammogram or get a breast exam and to see about their
health. It's very important. Very important. You know, and breast cancer doesn't know gender either. I mean, there are cases of male breast cancer. It's rare, but when there is a male breast cancer in the family, then there's a stronger likelihood or a predisposition that the females in the family can be affected. So, you know, it's important. Men have mothers, and men have wives, and men have daughters. It's important that they're encouraging their family members to go out and to get tested and to get screening. And, you know, it's wonderful that you see the football players wearing pink shoes and baseball players having pink gloves. I think that the stigma is gone, and now that it's more out in the open, that men are willing to say, yes, you need to get screened. And then they should encourage anyone in their family to be screened.
Because I know a lot of times women are apprehensive about doing this and getting and finding out because they're afraid that their husband or their loved one won't look at them the same way.
Well, you know, that unfortunately is the reality of things. But you know, women's breasts are a very important part of a woman's sexuality and an important part of her life. But they're not all, you know, they're not all encompassing. She's still the same person she was, and she still has her personality the same that it was, and she's still a beautiful person on the inside and out. So, you know, having breasts are important to a woman's identity, but again, there's ways, you know, if it does come to the fact that she might need a mastectomy, there's reconstructive surgeries and things like that. So, again,
I brought men into the equation, and yes, men can get breast cancer, but I do know that women need to look at themselves as beautiful beings and take care of themselves. And as we and as I said earlier at the beginning, early detection is paramount.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. I just went through cervical cancer, and if it had not been early, it may have been a different outcome.
Exactly.
And it comes from actually going through and getting your testing. And yes, it's a scary thing when they come back and sit you down in the chair and say, listen, you've got cancer. But when he says, but because we've caught it so early and it's very, very micro, we should be able to get it all so you don't have to have any follow-up. But that only comes by early detection. But
absolutely.
The fear of women. And women fear hearing those words, so they think, as I said, if I don't go, it'll go away, and it doesn't go away.
No, it doesn't. In the African American community, you know, the rate of breast cancer is less. But when African American women present with cancer, it's usually a little bit more advanced because they don't do the screening. So you know, this is why an event like this is so important. Like you said, to preach this, to let people know that screening is important because it can catch things early, and when you catch things early, then, you know, it's more likely to go away, and it won't come back, and you don't have to worry about it. It's not something that you'll die from. It's something that you can you know, put a notch on, you know, and say that this is something that I've overcome, and this is something that I need to tell my daughters about and my granddaughter, and let them know that if they get the screening, it doesn't mean if they get the screening, then it's not meaning that they won't get the cancer, but if they do end up with cervical cancer or breast cancer, then if it's caught early, it can be taken care of.
This upcoming
you know,
Saturday.
I feel like I was young when I was diagnosed with cervical cancer, and it was kind of like a life-altering situation, especially, you know, being young and in college, and you feel like you have your whole life hearing that word cancer. You're like, oh, my gosh. And it's not. Here I am. 8 years later, it's gone because I did the early detection. And I keep up with the healthcare side of it as getting detected, getting the yearly pap and, you know, things like that. And it's very imperative that women take care of their bodies. You know, you got to take care of yourself to take care of your children, to take care of your family. And you're the heart of everything.
The backbone.
And
yeah.
The backbone of your family. And you got to be the one. If you're not healthy, how are you going to help everybody else?
And I do hear that a lot, that women will come in and say, well, you know, I have to take care of this one, and I have to take care of this one, and I have to take care of my mother. But if you don't take care of yourself, there's not going to be anyone to take care of your husband and your kids and your dog and your parents. So women have to understand that it's very important that they take care of themselves first. Because if you're not healthy, again, you're not going to be able to take care of anyone else.
We're talking with some representatives from Youngstown Community Health Center, and this upcoming Saturday, May the 3rd, there's going to be a mother-daughter tea for breast cancer awareness. And if you can, please come out. It's from 10 a.m. to 1 o'clock. It's located at 726 Wick Avenue in Youngstown, right next to Ursuline High School. It's sponsored by One Health Ohio and the NFL and the breast cancer. I'm sorry, the Cancer American Cancer Society, and they want you to come out. This is important. There's going to be screenings. There's going to be baskets. There's going to be food. There's going to be educational stations. There's going to be clinical breast exam and mammograms. They're going to have a Tiffany's going to bring out a mammogram truck. There's going to be a lot going on talking about breast cancer awareness, so that you can live a healthy and prosperous life.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
It's
going to be fun. We're going to have fun on Saturday, and that's what it's all going to be about, is awareness and having fun.
Now, if I dress up in all pink and I look like a pink ribbon, do I get a prize?
Yes, you'll get a prize if you come dressed up in all pink.
Give us your names again and tell us where you guys are located and the number so that people, if they need to call, if they want to, if they can't make it on Saturday but they want to come and get a mammogram or get an exam, that they can call you guys. Give us that information out again for us, please.
Well, we have here at both of our Warren locations, which is Warren West and Lloyd McCoy, we have a mammo van that comes once a month on Thursday, and they can call the number for Warren. Will be 330-373-0222. And again, if they call that number, they get put right into our call center, and those ladies are more than capable of finding the perfect location close to their home to get them an appointment. And we also have the mammo van that comes once a month at Youngstown. And that number there, again, is 330-747-9551. And my name's Morgan. I'm the LPN here at One Health Ohio, and I'm at all the locations. I travel a lot and see all the beautiful ladies and all the wonderful patients that we have. So if they ever had any questions, they can call and ask the call center if they can speak to me, and I'd be more than happy to help them.
And I'm Dr. Kristen Himes. I'm a family doctor here at the Warren West Community Health Center, and I am also over at Lloyd McCoy Community Health Center as well. And like I said, we have physicians in our Youngstown site, our Alliance site. We have nurse practitioners in all the sites as well. We're very accessible. We have extended hours on certain days, so we're more than happy to see you. Usually it's quick to get an appointment, and like I said, you have male and female physicians, female nurse practitioners. If you're more comfortable with one versus another, we have plenty of options for you.
And I actually plan on being out there on Saturday, probably around 11:30, quarter to 12. I'll be going through there.
Well, we look forward to seeing you.
And look forward to being there. I plan on coming out and saying hi to everybody. I go get my mammogram and get my and get my breast examined by a doctor, and I'm very, very more of a proponent now of early detection and really getting it done. It's an uncomfortable thing. It's not something that we love, but
it's something
that we have to do.
But it's something you have to do.
Necessary. It's necessary.
Uh-huh.
And yeah, we're a little bit, well, I don't want this and I don't want that, but at the end, you really want to make sure that you've caught it early. If there's anything there, catch it while it's a small weed. Don't wait until it overtakes your body, and you know you got to go through a lot of, because chemo and radiation and surgeries and all and biopsies, all that kind of crazy stuff.
Mastectomies. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all that. You don't have to go through that if you just take care of yourself, and you don't have to have the money. So don't blame I don't have any money. Don't blame that on there. There's no excuse.
And you know, with the Medicaid and the government Medicaid expansion, and with the access to care, we actually have Medicaid specialists, someone that you can come in and sit down and talk to, and they'll help you fill out paperwork, and you know, they'll help you to kind of facilitate getting this insurance that could help with everything else. You know, people, when they get insurance, it's, I think, a weight is lifted off, and then they're more apt to come in for the screening tests. So be proactive and set up an appointment with one of our Medicaid specialists. They can help you out, and then we can get, you know, you won't have anything to worry about. You can get what you need done and know that you're healthy and know that you have a clean bill of health, and then spread the word to all your female friends and family members, and
And Saturday, even if your daughter doesn't come with you, if your mother doesn't come with you, if daughter doesn't come with you, that doesn't stop you from showing up. Bring your girlfriend, or just come by yourself. They won't.
Right.
They won't tell you
not
to come
invited.
In if you come alone. So don't
say,
well, I don't have any daughters.
Away.
Don't do that. They want you to just come. Women, just show up. I want to get that. I wanted to say that. Because some people say, well, it's a mother-daughter, and I don't have a daughter. I don't have a mother. My mom won't come, or she doesn't have time, or they're working. It doesn't make a difference. You just come out.
Right. Mm-hmm. Just come out.
And
bring
enjoy
a friend.
The afternoon.
You know, bring anybody. If you want to bring someone, bring someone.
Bring your neighbor. Call your neighbor up and say, hey, we said we were going to have lunch. Why don't we do this?
Bring your best friend. You know, bring a lady down the street. Just find a friend and come on out. Or come out by yourself. We're more than friendly, and we'll certainly sit down and talk to you.
Well, listen, I thank you ladies for coming on with me. It's a pleasure to have you with us.
Well, thank you.
And
for
if you ever need
us
to come on here again, just let me know, or let Dean know, or whatever it takes, and we'll make that happen, because I think this is so very – a woman's health, and health in general, is a paramount to the quality of life that you can actually have. Because if you have a healthy life and you're healthy, you can do anything.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Well, thank you, Tracy, for your time.
Thank you so much.
And we look forward to meeting you.
I look forward to being there. And it's this Saturday. And this Saturday, May 3rd, from 10 a.m. to 1 p.m. at Youngstown Community Health, which is right next to Ursuline on Wick Avenue. There is a mother-daughter tea for breast cancer awareness, and it's at the One Health Ohio Community Medical and Dental Center. It's sponsored by the NFL and the American Cancer Society, and we look forward to seeing you there. Ladies, thank you so much, and have a good afternoon.
Thank you, too. You too.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
I'm Harper Keegan with your headline news. The Bluegrass Pipeline Project could be at a standstill. The pipeline proposes to carry components of natural gas liquids from Pennsylvania through 15 Ohio counties, connecting producers in Louisiana. The companies behind it say the project is not dead, but they're no longer making capital investments in it, and that they haven't received firm customer commitments. Youngstown police officers remember one of their fallen. A moment of silence was held early yesterday morning honoring the memory of Officer Michael Hartzell. He was killed in 2003 while on duty. He was sitting in his police cruiser in downtown Youngstown and was shot. And police are searching for a suspect in the robbery of a Warren laundromat yesterday. The clerk at Washwell Laundromat told police an armed man wearing a red hood robbed him in broad daylight at 2:30 p.m. Call police if you have any information on the case. For WSOM News, I'm Harper Keegan.
You're listening to the Valley's News Talk, WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren. This is News Talk 600.
You're told that there's no such thing as a free lunch.
What up?
But you know what? There is a free app, RDO. RDO gives you 20 million songs in one easy-to-find place. Download the free app or go to RDIO.com. Now you can afford your lunch.
WSOM, Salem, Youngstown, Warren, the home for afternoons with Tracy and friends. News Talk 600 WSOM.
Smearing black conservatives and calling people Uncle Toms and, you know, claiming that any opposition to President Obama is purely and entirely racist, because God knows no one ever opposed President Bush on anything. No one ever opposed President Clinton on anything. No one ever opposed President Reagan on anything. Nobody ever opposed anybody before President Obama came along, at least to those who started paying attention about 5 years ago for the first time in their lives. But Congressman Benny Thompson, with some interesting stuff from a radio interview conducted over the weekend, some fascinating things said, and if an NBA team owner is to be punished, should Congressman Thompson be punished as well?
Yeah.
Richard Davies. First tornadoes, now lots of rain. There's a flood emergency in Pensacola, Florida, where nearly 2 feet of rain fell, the result of a big storm system. ABC's meteorologist Ginger Z in Kimberly, Alabama, says a number of states have been affected.
There are flood watches all the way from Florida up through the southeast, the western Carolinas, up into the parts of the mid-Atlantic. Washington, D.C. is included, and another target zone in eastern Pennsylvania. Parts of New Jersey will get a lot of rain later tonight and as we go into the early morning hours of your Thursday.
More than 130 tornadoes reported since Sunday in Tupelo, Mississippi. 130 homes were destroyed. A new report finds half the country is living with polluted air. Janice Nolan with the American Lung Association.
Ozone went back up this year, and that is not a good sign. But compared to 15 years ago, we're doing much, much better.
Nolan says there was a spike in ozone pollutants last year because of a warmer than average summer. Health experts say particle and ozone pollution raise the risk of heart disease, lung cancer, and asthma attacks. The U.S. economy slowed down during the first 3 months of this year. The Commerce Department says there was barely any growth at all. Many say higher wages would help boost the economy. One proposal is to lift the minimum wage employers have to pay. Congress is considering that.
After months of false starts, the Senate is finally due to vote around noon on raising the federal minimum wage to $10.10 an hour. And leaders know the outcome will be a no. Later, President Obama will rally supporters here at the White House who see this as a potent political issue in elections this fall.
ABC's Ann Compton. An execution in Oklahoma went wrong. The governor wants to know why. A death row inmate died of a heart attack 40 minutes after his execution was halted because of a botched injection of lethal drugs. This is ABC News.
If you're a conservative American over 50, then please listen to this important message. Hi, friends. Fran Tarkenton here. Let me tell you about an organization fighting to protect our country from the destructive liberal policies threatening our great nation. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, with over 1 million members and growing, serves as a strong conservative alternative to the left-leaning AARP. Over the years, I'd become increasingly distrustful of the AARP and its liberal agenda, but their support for Obamacare was the last straw. As a football player, I understood that in order to win, you have to keep fighting. Well, AMAC not only shares my conservative beliefs, but they also share that same willingness to fight to protect those beliefs for generations to come. You deserve better than AARP. AMAC is better. Better for you. Better for America.
Join AMAC today to receive exclusive benefits and discounts. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us to become a member. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us.
Now news about your money. Auto sales are expected to rise this spring, the industry to announce April car sales numbers tomorrow. One in four new cars is leased instead of purchased. That's a big increase on several years ago, and it's being encouraged by automakers.
They literally, and they very much want you in that dealership every 3 years if they can.
That's Larry Dominic, president of the auto valuation firm ALG.
If you're used to a car payment and you like cars, which a lot of us in the United States love cars, leasing is a great option because you can get in and out of cars every 2 to 3 years, get the latest and greatest.
And, however, leasing is more expensive than owning a car over the long haul. How safe are your credit cards? Target, which was hit by a big data breach, is trying to improve things, introducing more secure chip and PIN technology for its credit and debit cards by early next year. I'm Richard Davies, ABC News.
Here are some things you don't have to do to get the right car insurance at the right price from Safe Auto. You don't have to buy coverage you don't need. Safe Auto keeps it simple so you can get covered and get on with your life. Click safeauto.com.
Do you find yourself constantly tired? Do you have pain, migraine, headaches, or digestive upsets? Or you just feel like your immune system is weak? Call Dr. Matt Mason at Mason Wellness, 330-219-6250, or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Broadcasting from the Ford Studios, visit your Northeast Ohio Ford dealer and take the EcoBoost Challenge today. The 2014 Ford F-150 with available EcoBoost engine technology is built with the power to get the job done. Visit drive1ohio.com.
If you're a conservative American over 50, then please listen to this important message. Hi, friends. Fran Tarkenton here. Let me tell you about an organization fighting to protect our country from the destructive liberal policies threatening our great nation. AMAC, the Association of Mature American Citizens, with over 1 million members and growing, serves as a strong conservative alternative to the left-leaning AARP. Over the years, I'd become increasingly distrustful of the AARP and its liberal agenda, but their support for Obamacare was the last straw. As a football player, I understood that in order to win, you have to keep fighting. Well, AMAC not only shares my conservative beliefs, but they also share that same willingness to fight to protect those beliefs for generations to come. You deserve better than AARP. AMAC is better. Better for you. Better for America.
Join AMAC today to receive exclusive benefits and discounts. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us to become a member. Call 888-950-AMAC or go to teamamac.us.
Welcome to Tracy and Friends, weekdays from 9 to noon, the show that stimulates your mind on the issues of the day. Call the show at 347-945-5229 or toll-free at 1-800-530-WSOM. That's 347-945-5229 or 1-800-530-WSOM. And now, here's Tracy Winbush.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. I want to thank the ladies from One Health Ohio for coming in and talking with us about breast cancer awareness. It's going to be this upcoming Saturday with the mother-daughter tea. And guess what? I have the Men's Rally in the Valley, and they're going to be coming up on this upcoming Saturday also. So while we're having a breast cancer awareness up the street on WIC, they're going to be downtown at the Convelli Center, and they're going to be worshiping and praising God together. And it's called the Men's Rally in the Valley. It is the largest event, prayer event, that I think we have here in the Mahoning Valley. And I have Mr. Bing in studio with me. Hello, good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
This is going to be good. Tell us a little bit about what's happening with the Men's Rally in the Valley.
Well, the Men's Rally in the Valley.
Pull his mic to him for me, please. Thanks.
This is the fifth year for it, and this year's theme is Dare to be Daniels, No Compromise, No Retreats, Standing on the Truth. It's just a powerful theme. It's something that every man in this valley needs to be a part of and realize the importance of standing up for Jesus Christ.
And what year is this? How many years have you guys been doing this?
And this is the fifth.
This is the fifth year.
Mm-hmm.
How many men do you guys have coming down there?
Oh, there'd be anywhere from 4,000 to 6,000.
My goodness. And what time does it start?
It starts, I ask them to be in their seats by 8:30.
In the morning?
In the morning. And then at 9:15, a gentleman by the name of Mark Collis will be playing the shofar to call the assembly to order. And from there, it'll go to Mike Singletary, who is the linebacker for the Chicago Bears, and go on through the day. And then to wrap it up would be Phil Robertson from Duck Dynasty.
Is it Phil Grandpa? Who's Phil? I don't know Phil.
Phil is the father.
They all have beards, so they all look alike. So Grandpa is coming.
Grandpa and son
is coming.
Alan is coming.
Okay.
But the neat thing about this, and I think what it brings out, Tracy, is the importance of a man. Because as a result of Phil Robertson turning his life over to Christ, the legacy takes care, you know, he's baptized every member of his family. Every person who works at Duck Dynasty is a Christian, and it all goes back to one man, Phil Robertson. So when he comes, it won't be about ducks.
Okay.
He's going to be talking
about Jesus Christ.
About Jesus Christ.
I believe each one of
your mic's not up. What'd you say, Sticks?
I
Turn on the mic there. Push up. There you go.
I believe each one of his sons is also an ordained minister. Is that true?
Three of the four.
Okay.
Are ministers.
And so he's going to come here and he's going to minister in the afternoon. Now tell me, what, because, I mean, you know, we just had the women's rally in the valley on this past Saturday, and I spoke that morning.
Uh-huh.
And it is a wonderful thing when people come together to worship. But I was talking to one of the men there, and, you know, usually when you have things that deal with church, especially today, the women always outnumber the men. We always raise more money. We always have more women in attendance. But this rally is the opposite. The men's rally is a whole lot larger, than the women's rally. And when I look at that, he said, that's what you want, because you want praying heads. You want men who are in line with God.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, that's where the blessing is. And I was like, wow, I really never looked at it that way. Because when the roles reverse and men are praying, then things change.
I think, you know, as a man, we're rather slow. It takes us a while to really jump in and accept Christ and move and be the leader wherever he wants us, home, family, everywhere. But when you get a man turned on, boy, you really have something.
That is true.
And that's the beautiful part of this.
Is there an age limit?
No age limit. There are young people coming probably in a neighborhood of 10 to 13 years old and goes right up the line.
And how much is it for us to come down there?
Okay, it's $30, and that includes your lunch.
Okay. And it's goes in the morning at 8:30. You want to ask everyone to be in their seats.
Right.
And it goes until what time?
About 4 o'clock.
Okay. That's a pretty good day.
Well, it's going to be a great day. And I encourage anybody, don't miss it. You can come right up that day, I'm sure, and get a wristband. And so I encourage you to come and allow God to really impact this valley.
What should I expect?
I feel...
As a man, I'm not saying me. Because Stick says he's going. We don't let you guys come to ours, and we're not coming to yours.
Yeah, I don't want to go to the breast exam thing. No, that would be a bad thing.
Why?
Because, no. You go to the breast exam thing, and I'll go, and we'll report back Monday.
Okay.
You can talk about your experience, I'll talk about mine. And
okay, we'll compare notes.
Right.
Okay.
Oh, boy. I really feel, Tracy, this is going to be something that it's going to be the most impacting thing to hit this valley, and it's going to be remembered for a long time because a lot of lives are going to be saved. They're going to be changed. And so that's what I'm looking forward to and being a part of.
And this is a multicultural.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Multi-denominational. This is Pastor Gary Frost is going to speak this year.
Gary Frost is very active. I might tell you what Gary's involved with. We're going to have a Gideon's Crew. It's a choir. Men from all over this valley have just stood up and said, "I'd like to sing in the choir." And there's going to be approximately 100 men that are in the choir, and Gary Frost and Mark Pleggy are in charge of it.
Tell me the names of the guests that are going to be preaching on Saturday and speaking.
Okay. In addition to Mike Singletary, there will be Dave McGlure. Dave is a dentist in the Dover area.
Okay.
Then there will be Freddie Rodriguez. Freddie is a pastor, Salem, Ohio. Then there'll be Rodney Harrison. Rodney is the chaplain of the Baltimore Ravens. And then Tyrone Claybrook.
That's where Pastor Tyrone, you know, he's with us.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to be the wow, powerful man of God.
Oh, boys. I'd have to share with you Tyrone's topic that he's going to go on. I'm excited. He's going to talk of born to go through the fire.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, it's going to be good. And then after Tyrone, then comes Phil Robertson, and he'll be introduced by his son, Alan.
That'll be awesome.
The lineup.
That's the lineup.
Plus music.
So I can, like, come and sneak in the back and pick up a broom and act like I'm working, right?
Good luck.
We had a couple of guys at ours. They were fixing lights and stuff at the women's rally last week, and there were a couple guys there. They were fixing stuff, and they were dealing with lights and stuff and sound, you know. So they snuck in. They got some good nuggets from sneaking in.
I'm telling you, the wheels are turning. I can just I can hear them. Oh, Tracy, maybe I should tell you about there are crosswalkers. I don't know if you've heard about
them. No, I have not.
These men walk all night. The first cross starts at Hermitage, Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And at about 12:01 they start. And then another group.
They carry the cross.
They carry the cross.
I've heard about that.
300 to 400 pound cross. And then another group starts north, up around Hartford, Kinsman, that area. And then another group starts out in North Jackson.
Mm.
And so all three then will go overnight and then arrive at Covelli Center. And it should be there about 8 o'clock. A gentleman by the name of Skip Seifert, he's the man that's coordinating and been working with this.
It's going to be a great day. So now, is it too late for men to register?
Not a bit. They can. They could get as far as if you live in the Boardman area, you can go to the Family Bookstore. That's over in the Kohl's Plaza. Or you could go on the website, mensrally.org. And they're in churches. Or you can just drop in on that day and buy your wristband.
And so I can buy
tickets available at the gate.
Yes, very much.
And you get a wristband.
Yes. And guess what color it is?
It's camouflage.
You got it.
It's camouflage. It sounds like a wonderful, wonderful day. Sticks, you're going down, aren't you?
Yes, absolutely. I'm riding down on a bus with Damascus Friends Church.
So they're taking a whole bus?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, the preacher made a challenge, I understand.
And okay.
Even though I don't belong to that church, I got in on a challenge. If they bought their tickets early, he paid $5 for each guy that went out of his own pocket.
Oh, wow. Good discount.
So.
Boy, that's powerful.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. So I'm going to go down there and sneak around.
Sneak in the back way.
Yeah. Somebody's got to, you know.
Got it.
Got to see what's going on. Make sure you guys get it right.
Be the intelligence specialist, report back to the women.
That's right.
Make sure that there's nothing untoward going on.
That's right. And Bing's wife is in the studio with him, and I want to say thank you to her. Because we have to realize that every time our men get involved in something, they drope our women into it, whether we like it or not. It is nothing but answering the phone, keeping them on task, going with them in the rain and not being at home. And I said this on Saturday, and I'll say this publicly now. Women were made for men. Men were not made for women.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to understand that as women we have a duty, and our duty first is to our husbands and to our family before we go outside. And so we need to commend women because women do a great job of being wives and moms.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just true, so thank you.
You know, I'd have to say, you know, Peg and I have been married for 57 years.
Oh, that's only a couple days.
And
wow, you're newlyweds, aren't you?
The blessing for me has been a person that has dreamed the dream right along with me. And that isn't always easy. But that's why it's so important to have a wife like this.
Were you saved when you got married, Ben?
No. No, I wasn't. I became saved when I was 37.
Oh, wow.
We were married when I was 22.
Now, who got saved first? She did or you did?
I don't know when that. I just know when my date is. Mine was February 10, 1971. And
how did things change for your life when that happened? Because there's a great change that comes with salvation.
You betcha. For me, you know, it wasn't like I was into the drug scene or anything like that. My main problem, I'd have to say, is it was me. I only thought about me. I didn't think about other people. And anger was a problem. But when I accepted Christ, then it was just like the Lord poured a peace over me. I no longer was striving. See, I was a coach, and I just wanted to be, I wanted to be somebody. I wanted to be successful, but everything I touched lost. But it wasn't until what I call the Lord took over the coaching that everything changed in my teaching and coaching and in my life. It became a more peaceful ride. And then I'm so thankful.
I do feel that sentiment. There is a life. There is a with salvation with Christ comes a refining that allows you to know that if you get out the way and let God be God,
mm-hmm.
He will always put you in the right place that He wants you to be. When He wants you to be there. But you've got to know who He is and who you are and how inferior you are to Him. He doesn't need you, but you need Him. And when you trust Him like that and know that Jesus Christ is the way to the Creator,
mm-hmm.
and we fail to realize it, Jesus is the pathway. Jesus is the Word of God and the Creator. And when you get to the Creator, who is God Himself, the Creator of heaven and earth, and the Holy Spirit, who is the power of God, it gives you the ability to be a part of the intended family
mm-hmm.
that you were destined to be in. But you have to get self, flesh,
mm-hmm.
out the way, and egos, and will, and exchange your will for His will. And when you do that, I was just reading Isaiah 55 and 8, where it says, His thoughts are not our thoughts, neither are His ways. I was reading that this morning. How important that is for us to really comprehend to get out the way.
Mm-hmm.
Really, because our egos get us into more difficulty than you could ever imagine.
You know, there's this song that I build on. It's and it goes like, it says, this joy that I have,
the
Lord
didn't
give
it
to
me.
So the world
can't take it away.
Can't take it away.
And that's what it's all about.
That's it.
Hey, the men's rally in the valley is going to be taking place this Saturday.
Yes.
Wow, I cannot believe it's here already.
Nor can I. It seems like we just started 5 years ago.
No, I can't say all that. I'm not going to say all that. But I know that it came around awfully fast.
Oh, yes. Because
I think you guys were with me here last year.
Yes, we were.
And they're back again. It's coming up on May 3rd. It's going to be this Saturday. And they want you to come out. You can buy tickets at the door. You can get them at a family bookstore. But you can go. You can just walk up and get your band. Lunch is included. It starts at 8:30 in the morning. If you can't get there at 8:30, come throughout the day. Don't let you not being able to be there all day deter you from being there some part of the day. Mm-hmm. If you got to come in the afternoon, if you got to come in the morning and leave before the afternoon, but make yourself available. And I found out that sometimes you need to take time out for God. And some of us don't go to church like we should. Some of us don't think we need church like we need it. But do you need to stop and say, you know what, I'm going to take some time out and I'm going to just go to fellowship. Forsake not the assembling of the fellowship of the saints together.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to go in fellowship, and you need to bond one with another. I know you pray. I know you read your Bible. I know you got your own thing going on with your Creator, but it's good to come out and fellowship with someone else, to say hi to somebody and let them, you know, shake hands with you and let the Spirit of God in you and the Spirit of God in them praise God together
mm-hmm.
on one accord in one place and let God deal with you. In a male view, sometimes men just need to be by themselves with men.
Which brings me to the point I was going to make here. What has concerned me for a long time being is that Christian men are being portrayed in our society more and more as not strong strong people. You know, we're supposed to lay down, and my concern for the longest time is we preach too much of the turn the other cheek Jesus and not enough of the turning over the money changers Jesus.
I agree.
And I've never been to this event before, but I just feel from talking to people that have been there, it enforces the camaraderie of the turn over the money changers table. Man.
It allows men are men. And there's no greater man than a man that knows his creator. And we have feminized the gospel so much, and we feminized the church organization so much that we have allowed men to take a back seat. But when a man becomes a man and he is a man of God, there is no greater force on this earth. We need to understand that because God gives a vision to the man, not to the woman. I'm probably going to get killed for real. But the vision goes to the man. And the woman is the supporter of the man. She's the helpmeet of the man to enforce and to bring to manifestation the vision in which God gave the man, not the vision that she comes up with in her head. And if a man has no vision, then we have a wayward home. But the only way that a man can get a vision is to get it from God. But he has to be a man of God to see it. And then she has to be a woman of God to stand behind him, to help him implement the vision that God gave him. That's why submission and obedience and authority is so important in relationships.
I think what God is trying to do, our problems really go back to the absence of a man in the home.
Absolutely.
And so God is saying to men, it's time to stand. It's time to become a Daniel, someone who won't compromise. You won't retreat. You're just going to stand on the truth. And what a powerful force this is going to be, not only in your home, but in your church, in your community, everywhere. Because he's going to be unleashing all these men. And so it's just going to be great to be a part of it.
Hey, listen, this upcoming Saturday, Bing, I want to thank you for coming in. Thank you for coming in, Mrs. Bing. We love you both. It's going to be this Saturday. There's going to be the Men's Rally in the Valley downtown Youngstown at the Covelli Center. At the Covelli Center, all you got to do is find a parking place, walk up to the door, pay your $35, go in, enjoy lunch, and have a wonderful day in God with a bunch of great men from all over the five-county area, I'm quite sure. And the featured speaker this year is going to be Papa.
Phil Robertson.
Phil Robertson, the old man. Who gets in a lot of trouble, who doesn't bite his tongue. We'll be right back. You're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. Again, the number is 347-945-5229. We'll be right back.
Boardman Frame House Gallery, a professional frame shop and art gallery at the Mark Shopping Center in Poland at Routes 224 and 680. We specialize in original, limited, and antique lithographs of both renowned nationally published artists and local artists. We have over 30 years of award-winning custom design and archival framing. We give your artwork a unique presentation that enhances its value for life. Let your home or office express something individual and unique with a fine art limited edition print signed by the artist and numbered. You'll find many unique and affordable fine art editions. Visit us in the Mark Shopping Center. Find the Greenwich Workshop Catalog. And for any print or canvas you order, you get 50% off the frame for that fine art edition. Find us on Facebook or call us at 330-758-5795. That's 330-758-5795.
Howdy, howdy. I'm so excited. Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce, so that's a grocery store. That's right. You can get Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce right at the store. That means you can put back the chicken buddy. If you can't taste the meat, what's the point? Pick up the smooth and delicate Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. Next time you find yourself down at the market, remember, Charlie Staple Barbecue Sauce. The full couple of
Charlie Staples Barbecue Sauce is now available at the grocery stores. Ask your grocer for a couple of.
If you can't taste the meat, then what's the point?
Fit Family. Unique, individualized, and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austintown designs a personal exercise program just for you.
with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austintown receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for, with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Michael Savage. I used to like the title Steppenwolf by Hermann Hesse, once a very popular book. It always signified to me all of the different stages of all of our lives. And if you've been around a while and you had many different lives or incarnations, you're very lucky to see the world as it really is, as opposed to through rose-colored glasses, as it isn't.
Weekdays from 3 to 6 on News Talk 600.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at TracyandFriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
That's what you want to do. Bring me down, kingdom. Bring me down to love with you. Bring me down, kingdom. Bring me down, I said. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Hey. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do. Clap along if you feel like a room without a roof. Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Clap along if you know what happiness is to you. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. And guess what? You know what? If you know the sun is not shining, because I told you, if the sun doesn't shine, we play happy. And if you want to see something else, you got to turn off the spigot outside. Give me some sunshine and some warmth. As long as the skies are gray, you get Pharrell Williams and happy. The number is 347-945-5229. And I am here in studio, and I have a guest on the phone. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Tracy.
How are you this morning?
I'm good. It's raining here, too.
See, there you need a happy song.
Yes.
Where are you located?
Well, I'm in Virginia. I'm in the D.C. area.
Okay.
And I'm also happy because it looks like at least temporarily there was a delay in a very bad piece of legislation that's subsidize Wall Street and be bad for everyone else, called Johnson-Crapo.
Okay. So,
well,
was it delayed?
It was. It was delayed, but they could always bring it back. So this would make the government explicitly guarantee $5.6 trillion in debt to big banks and create slush funds for political groups like, you know, that poses housing advocates like Acorn used to do, and also totally wipe out some shareholders who had bought stock in, you know, including seniors and pension funds who had bought stock in Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac. It codifies an Obama administration policy that says everything goes to the Treasury Department and shareholders get nothing.
Now, before we go that far, tell us who you are.
I'm with the Competitive Enterprise Institute in D.C., although from the Midwest originally. We're a free market think tank that fights for individuals' freedoms to start a business, to or do, you know, whatever they want with, you know, accumulate wealth and then do what they want with that.
And tell us how you got involved in this. Tell us a little bit about your background and why you are a part of a consortium like this.
Well, my background, I grew up in the Midwest, Kansas City. I was a reporter for the Washington Times for several years, and I've just liked telling people, you know, or explaining or bringing, you know, the Main Street entrepreneur's perspective about how stuff in Washington, you know, affects folks.
Why is it that people are not getting it?
You know, I don't know. They say there's a beltway bubble, and they may just need to get out of it somewhat. But you know, that's been a question, particularly on Johnson Crapo. Why is Mike Crapo, the chief Republican, I mean, just going along with a policy that would expand? You know, basically it changes the name of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac, but basically expands their mission, creates a new bureaucracy, the Federal Mortgage Insurance Corporation, Fannie Mae, and, you know, codifies an Obama administration policy that's likely unconstitutional of taking all the profits from shareholders of these old firms.
Even
Ralph Nader's been hitting Obama on that point, and here Johnson Crapo codifies this.
Because I've been talking to people and listening to people, and people really don't, and even people from D.C., they really don't get it. They don't understand what's really going on here. They don't know what's happening. They don't understand that we're headed for another big bubble.
Yeah.
I mean, I see that coming. Do you?
Well, certainly, I mean, this creates, as far as housing, this recreates the condition because it's going to explicitly guarantee trillions in debt. And, you know, of past debt, and then going forward, it's going to tell banks if they want to, you know, package, you know, mortgages like some of the ones that led to the crisis, that the government will be on hold for 90% of it. They say, oh, the supporters of this law are saying, oh, well, this means that banks, you know, have to take 10% of the losses. You know, I'm no math genius, but that leaves 90% for the taxpayers, and even the 10% can be waived in what the bill calls exigent circumstances, what Johnson Crapo calls it.
So I got a question about Fannie and Freddie Mac, because you're pretty versed on this.
I try to be.
I thought we were going to do away with that because we found out it was bad.
Well, I thought so too. And
what happened? It's your fault.
And in the House, you've actually got some good bills. You've got Justin Amash's Fair Deal bill and Jeb Hensarling's the PATH Act. But those haven't been, you know, the House leadership, for whatever reason, Boehner and Cantor haven't refused to bring Hensarling's bill to the floor. And then in the Senate, you've got something that, you know, it sort of, you know, engages in rhetorical trickery because it says, well, we're ending Fannie and Freddie, but really all it does is the names. It confiscates all of the shareholders' assets and then forms this new bureaucracy, the Federal Mortgage Insurance Corporation, or as I call it and others have called it, Fannie Mick, that does, you know, has an even more intrusive role than Fannie and Freddie, so it's not reform at all.
Okay, let's slow down just for a few minutes. Fannie and Freddie Mac.
Yes.
Back in 2008, we knew that it was headed for a bad situation. They had tried to get Bush had tried to do something about it, and the powers that be, Barney Frank and Maxine Waters, they all just thought, they just pinned it on him like he was the worst person in the world if he ever tried to touch it. So then the bottom fell out. We had all this. We found out all this stuff was going on that nobody wanted to deal with, and we are still trying to dig our way out of it, and a lot of truth has not come to the surface, and I don't think it ever will. And here we are again, and they're doing it all over again.
I know.
When do we say
when? I mean, you're right about that. That they were making Fannie and Freddie, you know, partnered with Countrywide and some of the other of the worst banks to originate some of the subprime loans, and they didn't even call a lot of them subprime. They had in their portfolios loans called prime with that had went to folks with credit scores of less than 660. I mean, the SEC has charged the Securities and Exchange Commission has charged them both with securities fraud. So I mean, and yeah, this starts the whole thing all over again. So that's, you know, have we learned anything? I wonder. But then, you know, the good news is that, you know, 26, you know, conservative and free market groups, including, you know us at the Competitive Enterprise Institute and FreedomWorks and the American Family Association and 60 Plus and National Taxpayers Union have come out with a letter, you know, calling Johnson-Crapo the phony reform that it is.
As you're talking about this, because I don't think people realize how their lives are tied into this. And those banking institutions are still making money off of bad loans. And the government is still trying to find a way to fund their funders.
Yes.
When do we
and community that? Banks are getting the shaft, not just from this bill, which would, again, you know, add power to the big banks, but from Dodd-Frank and all of the red tape that have done in response to the crisis, but that did not go after Fannie and Freddie, and instead is hurting the community banks that lended responsibly the entire time, or being hit with red tapes, and some of them, including one that we're working with in Texas, and challenging some of these rules, they had to stop making new mortgages because it became so expensive.
What
did you say, Sticks?
It's my understanding that under Dodd-Frank, the community banks especially are actually having their hands tied and writing good quality home mortgages because they can only have a certain percentage of their portfolios in home mortgages. Is that true?
That is true. Among other things in Dodd-Frank, it makes it much harder. I mean, you would think after the crisis, you know, some of the problem was with buying and selling these mortgages. So you would think if anything, you would make it easier for banks to hold mortgages on their own books. But that's exactly the opposite of what's happening. There's so much red tape if you hold it on your own books and with the new capital standards and don't have community banks in mind with new things about how, you know, what, you know, the slight adjustment in interest rates for some of the community bank loans and other things. So banks like the State National Bank in Big Spring in Texas that had made, you know, loans for decades and had literally zero foreclosures now says it's going to have to stop making mortgages because of Dodd-Frank, and we're partnering with them. We're both representing them and you know, helping represent them, and we're co-planning with them in challenging, you know, Dodd-Frank and some of the new bureaucracies as unconstitutional, and that's in the D.C. Circuit Court. So that's another thing. That's true reform would get rid of a lot of the Dodd-Frank red tape, plus, you know, phase out these, you know, monstrosities like Fannie and Freddie, and, you know, give community banks and credit unions more power. But that's the opposite of what Johnson-Crapo and Dodd-Frank, what Johnson-Crapo proposes to do and Dodd-Frank already does.
I had some people on here from AIG and Forest City. And having a conversation with them, they said that AIG was, their biggest problem was that it was a piece of legislation that caused them to go belly up because they had to have 100% insured instead of just the loans, their loan area. So everything had to be insured in one big lump, not just at almost like a line item. And that if the federal government had deregulated their first regulation and allowed them to only insure those that were problematic or their consumer loans or their commercial loans and not have to make them have to make them completely 100% assured in one big cluster, they would not have had to go belly up the way they did, as well as the Lehman Brothers and Goldman Sachs and all the others that were having the problem that were doing insurances on residential and small loans.
I know there was a lot of red tape involved, and there certainly wasn't a total, you know, deregulation. We had, you know, under President Bush, I know you, and he did try to do something about Fannie and Freddie, and should get credit for that, but he also put in this new this new red tape himself called Sarbanes-Oxley after Enron that made it harder for smaller public companies to go public. And so I think, I mean, I know there were things like the mark-to-market rules where you had to, you know, take a where sometimes banks had to take and others had to take paper and insurance companies had to take paper losses, even though, you know, even if the mortgages were still good, because, you know, they had to write them down as to what they would sell for tomorrow. And I think, and those were relaxed somewhat. In fact, that's when we got, you know, it got a little more stable. But, yeah, there was certainly just a combination of both Fannie and Freddie, bad policies like mark-to-market rules, other things, the monopoly we gave the credit rating agency and requiring everything to get a credit rating, and then so there was an over-reliance on them. So a bunch of things, and a bunch of things that we mostly haven't corrected. Instead, we've showered this new regulation on businesses and banks, like community banks that weren't part of the problem.
So let me ask you this. When do we begin to educate the American public? Because right now, the ignorance of America is the destruction of our future.
Well, I think your show is doing a lot to educate, and I think, you know, people, you know, have some common horse sense. That's what I found, you know, talking with this community bank in Texas, and I'm sure, in fact, I've talked with someone in Ohio, too, that it's a matter of, you know, getting the information out there, getting up to date information about what Washington plans to do and how it could affect you. And I mean, you could look at our website, the Competitive Enterprise Institute, CEI.org, and other resources. And
do that again. Say that again. Slow that, because they may not have had a pen. They may not have had a pen and a piece of paper in their pocket when you said that. So
our website is CEI.org for the Competitive Enterprise Institute. What do you say?
What do you do there? Tell us what
I'm a senior fellow, but I basically, what I do is I look at how regulations, taxes, mandates, other things, new laws could affect entrepreneurs, investors, and consumers, and, you know, affect folks' freedoms and ability to build wealth. And I talk about that. But I also, I mean, I think it's a two-way street, because sometimes Washington's ignorant of, you know, what's going on, you know, on Main Street and what some of their frustrations are, as well as what their dreams are. So I always learn from talking to just, you know, everybody every day, you know, Main Street entrepreneurs and consumers and investors. So, I mean, feel free to, you know, send us some feedback, too. So, if you have callers, I'm looking forward to talking to them. So, anyway, that's the thing. And so it's sort of a two-way street, you know, that people have to tell, you know, because sometimes they're willfully ignorant, but sometimes folks in Washington honestly don't know what's really going on, or what, you know, problems they may be causing, or what they need to do as far as, you know, helping, you know, or just leaving alone Main Street. So that's the thing. You know, you need better communication and then action if they do sit on their dumps here and don't go after what was really causing the financial crisis, and instead go after, you know, folks that had nothing to do with it.
Hey, the number is 347-945-5229. Stanley, your mic is on.
Oh, Tracy, I can't believe we're going back again to that again. Oh, my God.
What?
Oh, God, we're going back to the crisis again of 2008. Okay, let me ask a question to the person again. What is his name?
John. What's your name?
Hello,
sir?
John. It's Stanley. Sorry.
Okay,
my name is Stanley. Okay. I am a very American who's very informed. There's a movie that talks about it and never talks about Freddie and Freddie. It's the movie Inside Job that talks exactly what happened and put the whole focus on the bank, because the bank were responsible of creating something out of nothing. They were responsible of creating credit default swap that we never heard about. We didn't even know what it was. and they decided to basically lend the money to people who didn't have the credit, and they had insurance on it. That had nothing to do with credit with Freddie and the other thing. How do you explain that?
Well, actually, Fannie and Freddie were an inside job that didn't cover them as much as they should have. But it would certainly, I would recommend you read a book by a Pulitzer Prize-winning journalist for the New York Times, Gretchen Morgenson, called Reckless Endangerment, published by New York Times Book, hardly a right-wing publication, that talks about how Fannie and Freddie partnered with both Countrywide, WaMu, some of the worst banks in the crisis, who've gotten the coverage from media to pioneer things like the fast and easy loan. I mean, Angelo Mozzillo of Countrywide was hanging out with the former Fannie CEO, Jim Johnson. So, yeah, I would suggest you watch Inside Job again and also expand your reading and watching.
But
get the book Reckless Endangerment.
Okay, but you're making it sound like the bank had nothing to do with it. If we take Fannie and Freddie, the banks were doing a product that we didn't even know. They were inventing something that we didn't even know it was possible to do.
Well, here's the question, and I don't know where you're getting. I'm not blaming the banks. I've just talked about how Wall Street banks and how this Johnson Crapo would help them further, and why it's bad legislation. But if you go into reckless endangerment, one of the reasons, that not the only reason, the banks did this is because they knew they had a buyer from Fannie and Freddie. Fannie and Freddie would buy, securitize. They buy these mortgages. If they didn't know Fannie and Freddie were there to buy it, if Countrywide or Angelo Mozzillo didn't know that, they probably wouldn't have made as many.
I'm sorry, it's not true, because they had an insurance that was protecting them from the investment they were doing. That's what they were doing that day. It had nothing to do with Freddie and Fannie, and the insurance, that's another part you're not even talking about, which is the insurance that basically said they were basically selling action to the actioneer and having insurance in the background that was protecting them, and in case you would lose the money, they would still get the money.
Stanley, I can tell you this from personal experience. The A paper went to private hedge funds. The B and C and D paper went to Fannie and Freddie because they had a de facto guarantee by the government that that would be good paper. They always knew that because Fannie and Freddie were government
insured,
that the B, C, and D paper would be insured if it defaulted, because I have A paper. All my A papers being held by private hedge funds.
Yeah, but even if you take out Fannie and Freddie, it doesn't stop the fact that they were behind the buy. If you take Freddie and Freddie, the thing would have still happened.
No,
take out Freddie and Freddie, they would have still had
Stanley,
it.
Stanley.
That's what
hold
you
on.
Don't
hold
understand.
On. Hold on, Stanley. Hold up, Stanley. 314, your mic is on. Hi, Bianchi.
Oh, I'm just listening, Tracy.
Okay.
Good morning to you.
Good morning. John, you want
good
to
morning.
Jump in?
Yeah, well, did you want me to respond?
Yes.
I would just say the last caller, too. I mean, I think you offered some good answers, but I mean, reckless endangerment. And what he says, would have happened, I mean, well, people would have made it's the question of, whether a million or a billion or a trillion in bad loans. If Fannie and Freddie hadn't bought as many, less bad loans would have been made, much less. So it would have been the difference between, a small problem and a very large problem, and a systemic crisis.
I mean, answer me this.
They added fuel to the fire, and in some cases, started the fire.
Answer me this, John. Without the de facto guarantee, because the Fannie and Freddie are GSOs, government sponsored organizations, would the banks have made those B, C, and D paper loans?
Yes.
Not nearly as many of them, because Fannie and Freddie, if reckless endangerment the book actually documents how Angelo Mozzillo and Jim Johnson actually designed some of these early subprime loans together. Angelo Mozzillo, the CEO of Countrywide, in fact, he was still he still was at a recent party with Jim Johnson, the former CEO of Fannie and Freddie. So Fannie and Freddie was in on some of these loans at the beginning, designing them. So and they had the implicit, which has now become explicit, and Johnson Crapo makes more explicit government guarantee.
Hold on, Stanley. Let me throw this into the mix, and so that we can all be understanding of here. This was not a isolated, whose fault is it? It was Congress, it was administrative, the president administrative, and it was It was private industry, and it was Wall Street, and it was America.
It was fascism.
Because what it was we found a loophole to make some money. We found a loophole to make people with some money be happy with us making money so that we all could make money together and I could get to my power and get to my influence and get to where I wanted to go collectively.
It was a fascist system.
And they did it on the backs of Americans. Whether it be Fannie and Freddie, whether it be Barney Frank, whether it be Dodd, whether it be Bush, all these people, all of them had their problems. Lehman Brothers, Goldman Sachs, AIG, all of them together were in one big cluster. All the way trickled down because people were making money all over the place in industries of selling money to make houses. And the American people were happy because they were getting their dream home, whether they could afford it or not. So everybody was happy. But the problem is, now that we know what greed will do, because this is all about greed and about consumption that you could not and you cannot handle, we need to learn from our mistakes and not allow this to happen again. And what's happening now is they're getting ready to create the whole cycle all over again and call it something different.
But, you know, Tracy, it was a plan when the loans were first initiated. The homeowners could afford it, but those demons raised the rates, then threw the payments beyond the ability of the average, what a homeowner does call the collapse.
And you're right, but gas prices went up, but let's also understand what else happened, Bianchi. Not only did the gas prices go up, not only did the market change, but but Wall Street, the bottom fell out. See, remember, we all knew that Madoff was a bad man making money. But because he was making money, as long as I was getting paid, and we were going to close, the SEC closed their eyes to him and let him continue on, and everybody kept on going until everybody made a call on that day. See, everything
he was
goes well
on
until
the SEC committees, if you can believe that.
That's what I'm saying. And so until the call came, when the call came, things changed. Everything is cool until the call comes.
Yep. Yes.
And you got to pay up that day.
But this is, I mean, people, you know, community banks, pensions invested in Fannie and Freddie, and the government told them it was safe. And now the Obama administration and Johnson Crapo, which is a bipartisan, still bad, is going to just say, you know, your shareholders get zero, even if there's money left over. And that's not the way to do it, is to take to confiscate from ordinary shareholders. You're just continuing the problem.
Look what they did to General Motors.
And what got me is how everybody played dumb when the bottom fell out.
Yeah.
Well, everybody was dumb.
Well, I mean, my boss, Ward, you know, he said that Fannie and Freddie, their $2 billion line with the Treasury Department could become $200 billion if there was a crisis, and he warned about the new type of mortgages. So he said that. He testified before Congress in 2000 about that. And, you know, less than 10 years later, it turned out he underestimated the problem. So there were people that were warning about it. It's just we didn't pay enough attention, and
we didn't want to pay attention because everybody was making money. As long as we're all making money, you can cry in the wilderness.
Because you could, I saw a 60 Minutes article when all this was going on, you could sign a home mortgage with a second on it in Stockton or Stockdale, California, and walk away with $50,000 cash in your pocket on a brand new home. That's how bad the bubble was getting. Had gotten.
And everybody was happy. As long as we're all making money and the sky, you know, like I said, and the sun is shining and the sky is blue, we're happy. It's the day that it rains and you don't have a raincoat and you find out they have no car and it was all a facade.
And we have to go back to a change in the mentality of Americans, too, because we don't think about our homes the way our grandparents did.
Oh, no.
You know, and if we still thought about our homes the way our grandparents did, this bubble probably wouldn't have happened.
People went to jail. But the wrong people went.
Right.
The people that created this situation didn't go to jail.
I mean, the joke, I was buying a lot of houses leading up to this, and the joke was if you can fog a mirror, you can get a mortgage.
That's all you needed to do. And we were all happy. The only time we become unhappy is when you call me on it and I don't have it.
And what people don't understand is the foreclosure thing was going on 5, 6, 7 years prior to 2008 because people were buying houses and then just walking away from them. I mean, it isn't like this thing happened overnight.
It didn't happen overnight, but it's close to it. Listen, I got to take a break. John, can you stay on a few more minutes?
Oh, sure, sure.
And you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600, the number 347-945-5229. We will be right back.
Hello?
Yes.
Oh, John. That's the thing is, because as an informed American, I'm sorry, you should really see that movie. That movie is basically going all the way. It came from the bank. It came from the rating agency that even protected us. It came from the insurance that basically closed their eyes and didn't do anything. It came from a program. It came from a thing that they invented, which is credit default swap, that we didn't even know what it was. I didn't even know that. If I go to Americans in 2000, do you know what credit default swap is? Everybody look at you and say, what the hell is this? It came from all right. This combination of they decided to invent something that they say, hey, we could do this, and there's a possibility to do it, and we're going to do it. And the people that were supposed to secure us, which is the agency, the insurance, we're all in it. So when you're putting Lehman's Brothers and everything, I'm sorry, you take out Lehman, they would have still done it.
Well, I would say Lehman is Fannie and Freddie. But Reckless, I will rewatch Inside Job. I've watched it, and I think they do cite Fannie and Freddie, though they don't give the blame that I would. But Reckless Endangerment, I mean, if you read that and just how the, you know, all the bad players they had connections with, Countrywide, Washington Mutual, including starting some of these loans way back in the 90s, that they were the pioneers here of the bad type of lending. So,
and the thing is that it's not here just in America. It happened in Ireland, the same thing, and they had no Fannie and Freddie, and they did the same thing before we did.
Well, my understanding, though, with Ireland is they bought a lot of our bonds and stuff like that. And that's why one of the reasons that some of the European countries and others like were in trouble. But certainly, I mean, there was we don't have a monopoly on bad management. But because there were international buyers for some of these mortgage backed securities. So that's.
Well, Obama provided funds to bail out the European banks, but the thing is that you got a certain group that would heist the United States government in order to create working capital to carry into other areas and heist them too. And if you look at this real closely, and you have to have some gray in your hair or silver, whatever you want to call it, in order to recognize it and be able to identify it. They are scamming the U.S. government and American people. American people are some of the dumbest people on earth when it comes down to things like this. And it's true.
Well, you know, I think our politicians, sometimes our politicians can learn from the American people. And just the Johnson Crapo is just a continuation of all this and worse. That's people have to let their lawmakers know about the.
How come if you're so much for the people, how come you're not for the people who've done that to be arrested, put in prison, things like, and condemned for what they did? I didn't see nobody in Wall Street get condemned. I didn't see nobody in the bank get condemned. I didn't see no arrest.
If they did the crime.
And they never will. Because
well,
other
Stanley,
countries did arrest them. Ireland's got
DuPont.
Those people. Yeah.
DuPont don't go to jail, where do you think they're going to go to jail?
Yeah, you know.
Think about it.
Right.
That's why I don't deport. I understand what you're saying, Fannie and Freddie, but I don't see you having rage or saying, hey, you did something wrong. You need to go to prison. Because if I, as an American, would have done that, I would have been in prison just like that. What does that say to people?
Right. I mean, yeah. I mean, certainly some of their executives, I mean, like Frank Raines, like Jim Johnson, others, I mean, I think you might be able to pursue criminal charges against some of those. I'm sort of more of a policy guy than a criminal justice guy, but certainly if people did the crime, they should do the time. So that's the
whole point that I don't, you know. And if we're going back, if you're telling me it's coming back again, I have to look at this. Yeah, I don't want that to come back again. I think enough people pay for that. And I don't see how it can come back again. Doesn't Obama have a law now that you can't even – if there's no bank doing what they need to do, they can't do the thing coming back again. So how are they going to do it? Because Obama didn't put those – go ahead.
How's who going to do it? To do what?
Okay, you're telling me it's coming back like back – they're trying to do the same thing in 2008. But didn't Obama do a law against the bank that he can't basically create credit default swap and things like that or something?
That's the thing. Dodd-Frank really doesn't – it goes after the wrong things. It goes after – I mean, like there's a provision there even that goes after says if a company may have used metals from the Congo, it has to disclose. So all these things sort of that have nothing to do with the crisis. And now when I say it's coming back, I mean in Johnson-Crapo. Johnson-Crapo is going to provide a government backstop for some of these big banks to do securitize, you know, create mortgage-backed securities again to sell off with probably with credit default swaps and other things. So that's the thing. That's where we really need to worry about it. One of the places is to stop Johnson-Crapo from becoming law. And the Obama administration is supporting it, unfortunately. But there are Republicans and Democrats, including Ralph Nader, I mean, conservatives and liberals, I should say, who are opposing it. So that's the...
So what is the solution for you? What do you think we should do as Americans to stop from that happening again?
I think we should, you know, we should have clear laws against fraud. We should phase out Fannie and Freddie, you know, having the government support for – we really don't need that extra government support for mortgages. I think that in itself creates a bubble any more than we have like a we would have a government backstop, say, for car loans. But and also allow community banks and credit unions to – you know, make the loans, the good loans they've always made and stop, you know, with some of the Dodd-Frank and other red tape on them. I stand with the credit unions on a lot of things. There's a bipartisan bill that would let credit unions lend more to business that both Rand Paul and Mark Udall and guys like in the House, liberals like John Conyers are supporting. So there are some good, you know, bipartisan things that look at some of this red tape, but then you've also got bad pieces of legislation like Johnson-Crapo that would basically restart the bubble again.
Well, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. It is 8 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock here on the 30th, the last day of April 2014. And guess what? Today's my ex-husband's birthday. Happy birthday. He doesn't talk to me, but I thought I'd say that.
Happy birthday to your ex-husband.
Yeah, happy birthday to my ex-husband. He didn't talk to me, but, you know.
None of my business. Is he in the area?
No.
Okay.
But, you know, it's kind of fun to be able to do that and not care. I've got a gentleman on with me today, and he is a I just found out about him. I got an email on him, and he his name is John. John, pronounce your last name. Is it Berlew?
Burlaw. Bird's it's called law like the law. Everybody mispronounces it, though, Tracy, so don't worry.
I mean, it should say B-E-R-L-A-W, not B-A-R-L-A-U.
Phonetic spelling.
Yes,
Burlaw.
It's phonetic.
Burlew.
Yes, that's how, yes, it's pronounced Burlaw, but that's, everybody mispronounces it, and that's okay. So anyway,
should I help you with the name change? Because we can get that spelling change.
No, I don't think so. I've had this name a long time, so anyway.
And he is a columnist. He is also with the, let me make sure I get this right. Oh, I have it. He is with Competitive Enterprise Institute out of D.C., and if you want to go to their website, it's CEI, C as in cat, E as in engineer, I as in institute.org. And you can find out a whole lot of information. There's a lot of stuff on there to read about minimum wage, about the administration, about due process. You'll find out a lot of information on there. I can't wait to read this 10,000 Commandments, an annual snapshot of federal regulatory state. That has to be an interesting read. So you have to come back and talk about that.
Yes, that is about how much more red tape is added. How many, you know, just thousands of pages. I mean, that's the thing. I mean. Dodd-Frank was 2,500 pages. Obamacare was 2,500 pages. And then there are thousands more just interpreting the rules. And then, you know, you think about, you know, a small business or a small bank. I mean, the big banks can hire, you know, full-time lawyers, accountants, or compliance with a small bank. I mean, if they have the employees they hire for this are less that they could do that as far as a loan officer, as far as folks making loans, and it's reflected also in what they have to charge consumers with the smaller businesses. So,
John, who honestly, I mean, you're in D.C., and I get to visit there every now and then. They let me up on the Hill every now and then. I've been inside, you know, I get to sit in a couple of meetings and hearings every now and then, but I'm not a big wig like you are. Who reads that paper? I mean,
who reads the regulations?
Who reads those 2,500 pages? I know it's not my congressman and my senator.
That's the thing. That's one of the problems. A lot of people who vote on it haven't read it, and sometimes they're surprised by what's actually in it. It's the whole Nancy Pelosi quote on Obamacare, which can be said of so many laws. You know, we have to pass it before we know what's in it. So, one of the things we're also trying to do is that sometimes it's not Congress's fault. Sometimes the regulators will twist what's said in a law. But one of the ways we can prevent that is, like, for a major regulation affecting our economy, say that Congress has to affirmatively approve it. One of our things that we say in 10,000 Commandments is no regulation without representation. That way Congress both has the authority over bureaucracy and can't duck responsibility by saying, well, we never knew it was in there and things like that. They have to, once again, vote on a major rule like that would affect so many small businesses and entrepreneurs and other things on
John, can I ask a dumb question? This is a real dumb question because I've only been on a school board. You know, we don't have that much stuff to do. But aren't you supposed to read it anyhow before you affirm or deny it? You're supposed to read stuff, aren't you? You're not supposed to pass it and then try to figure out what's in it, are you? Or am I missing something that I didn't know?
That's the way most people think it should be done, but that's unfortunately not the way it's done, and that's what we need to change, actually.
How do we change that? Because, I mean, seriously, I come from the school of you read the law. Even as a Board of Elections person, you know, when we get our agenda, I have to read it before I make a judgment call on it, don't I?
Yes. I would certainly recommend that.
So why are we teaching people? Because, you know, contract law says, you say, well, I didn't know, and they say it was in the fine print, and I say, well, I didn't read the fine print, and they say, well, you should have read it before you signed it. And a signature means affirmation, right?
Right. I mean, I try to read everything before I sign and ask if I don't understand it, but then again, I'm not in Congress, so...
So when does Congress make rules that change the landscape of you reading something, knowing what you're affirming before you do it, when it's going to affect everybody and all people's lives?
I think there have been a couple read the bill pledges or something that some candidates have taken, and that's something, you know, voters should discuss with their candidates. Will you read a bill before you co-sponsor it, before you vote for it? I mean, I think that's a very good conversation to have.
So your campaign pledges, I will read it before I affirm it.
Yeah.
I've heard worse campaign pledges than that. In fact, I think some of the Tea Party some of the new candidates are explicitly saying that, and you know, well they should, because this is, you know, I mean, it's a basic thing you'd expect folks to do, but. Sometimes, you know, I think you should get an explicit political promise for.
I promise to read. Can you read? Oh, I couldn't read, but I'll learn.
Yeah.
John, I understand the average American commits 3 felonies a day and they don't even realize it. Is that true?
Well, that's a good, there's been a book called 3 Felonies a Day, and there's a real problem with over-criminalization that so many things, like, say, you know, whether you, you know, there's a ditch in your land and you cover it up like with a wetland and other things. It's so many things, you know. There are so many, we were talking about people, you know, who commit serious crimes, you know, whether they're financial or otherwise, should be, serve their time. But there are so many things, you know, that are just red tape, that are like technical violations of rules that could actually carry criminal convictions. And, you know, people want to be tough on crime. Politicians would be tough on crime, and that's the problem. They didn't read it, and then they have thousands of pages for other people to read. Like, you have the case of a fisherman who went to jail for a few years because he put something, the fish in, like, some lobsters in boxes instead of bags, or maybe it was the other way around. But, Gina Healy of the Cato Institute has written a good book on over-criminalization and other things. So, yeah, that's definitely a problem where you have regulatory violations that carry jail time, but they could be, you know, no one could keep up with all the rules or all the complex interpretations of the law.
But these people just want to keep me safe, right? That's why they do this.
But they didn't read it.
That's what they say, and that's what, and I don't. I think it sometimes is unintentional or ignorant that they wanna sound tough, so they'll put it like a criminal penalty on that. But you've just gotten it to the point where you do have lots of things, you know, that could be paperwork violations, could carry, you know, where somebody's not defrauding or cheating or stealing from anybody, could, you know, carry jail time, unfortunately. And also you've got mandatory minimum sentences, like I agree with the liberals on, you know, nonviolent, you know, drug offenders. They shouldn't have these mandatory minimums. And, you know, Mike Lee who's a Tea Party Republican from Utah, and some of the liberals in Congress are getting together on, you know, changing that and, you know, reducing some of the harsh sentences. So I applaud that. Sometimes there are good, you know, bipartisan things, in contrast to Johnson Crapo, which is bipartisan and just, you know, enforcing the status quo and, you know, making Wall Street rich again at taxpayers' expense. But that's the thing. Some people should, you know, I think Washington can learn a lot, you know, from just talking to the American people more.
You know, all they got to do is go play with some kids and they can learn some things.
I think so, too.
You know, if you play with kids, you'll learn a lot. Because,
all I ever learned was what I learned in kindergarten. Things like, kids also know when to ask questions. I mean, I think that's the most important thing. You know, why? And we forget, you know, adults sometimes, I mean, there's wisdom in asking questions and things you don't understand. But, you know, politicians, it's like those guys who don't want to ask, it's like guys on the road with driving don't want to ask for directions and things like that and end up getting lost.
I am just amazed by some of the less than childish things that happen, like reading, like compromise, like cooperation, when it comes to our legislators and inside of especially DuPont Circle, but across this globe, and the apathy of the American people is just sad.
Well, I mean, it is, but I see some good things happening. I see some people, you know, who are just, you know, communicating more, getting grassroots level. I mean, Tea Party, but then, you know, other movements as well. But, you know, when the internet, you know, does bring more power to people, you know, let their members of Congress know and other things. And we've got, you know, plus we've got businesses that like I don't know if Uber's there with ride sharing and things like that, where people are starting out and they're, you know, looking at some of these archaic rules and saying, you know, this is really, really isn't hurting. This is hurting and not helping the folks on Main Street. So let's change some of these. So you've got more grassroots movements and the ability for more. So that's a positive. I guess I'm an optimist. Sometimes look at the glass half full, but that's the thing. You've also, and I think that's what happened in Johnson. You know, why there was a delay in Johnson Crapo. I mean, they heard, you know, concerns both from Ralph Nader and from groups, you know, conservative groups about, you know this is using the taxpayer to enrich Wall Street and at the same time rebuff shareholders. So hopefully, we're continuing to spread that grassroots message on that and other things. So anyway.
Hey, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. You had a question.
Yeah, John. Is there any way we're ever going to be able to get the government out of the home mortgage business?
I hope so, because we can't, you know, you've had it, you know, sort of Democrats and Republicans. I think Democrats more, but Republicans have been guilty of saying home ownership is the American dream, when in truth there are many American dreams, including starting a business, and there's really no reason for the government to be involved and favor one sector any more than, say, you know, you have a backstop for car loans or other things, or the computer sector is really developed, you know, without, you know, broad government assistance like that, and the internet. So I mean, it's what we need to do. The question is whether we have the guts and the brains to do it.
I mean, what's wrong with going back to 20% down?
Think there's not only nothing wrong. That's the direction we should go. And I think that's the thing. You would have, you know, if people had their own money rather than like a government backstop, like with Fannie and Freddie. If Fannie and Freddie wouldn't buy it, you'd have more common sense things like 20% down. I mean, not as a one size fits all rule, but you know that would be more the norm, and that's what you had before you had all the government intervention. You had general people, you know, sensible risk standards like that.
I understand that Canada didn't go through this same crisis because they, under their system, they required larger down payments. Do you know anything about that?
And they didn't have government-sponsored enterprises like we did. So yeah, we can learn. It's funny. I'm usually the one who doesn't say we can learn from Canada, like on healthcare, but certainly we can on mortgage policy. And they're also drilling for oil a lot more than we are now, to the tar sands and other things. And we still won't even partner with them to build the Keystone, thanks
right.
to Obama. So that's. Even though 60% of more than 60% of the public and unions want to do it, and everyone. So that's the thing. It may be that Canada may be more
more capitalist
than
us.
Canadian than the Canadians.
Yeah, it's my understanding they've passed us on the economic freedom list. That they're more economically free as a people
well
than
be,
we are.
Right. That may very well be, but we've certainly, copied the worst from them as far as healthcare and not looked at,
yeah.
the best as far as mortgage policy and energy exploration.
Well, listen, John, I want to thank you for being a guest with us. It certainly has been a privilege having a conversation with you. Hopefully you'll come back and hang out with us again.
Oh, love to. Love to, Tracy. And CEI.org is our website.
C as in cat, E as in engineer, and I as in independent, CI.org. Great website, got a lot of information on there. You'll be surprised what you see, and hopefully we'll have him come back. Thanks a lot, John.
Thanks so much, Tracy. Pleasure.
And you're welcome. And listen, you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. When we come back, we will, at the last half hour of the minute, we'll just do an open mic. We'll go where you want to go, talk about what you want to talk about. I did my monologue about how I felt about Sterling earlier. You can disagree with me if you want, but that's what makes America great. But the way things are right now, we're going to reshape the freedom of speech so that you no longer can say what you think. You just have to think what I think and be like I think it. And if you think it and if you say it, you will be demonized and you will be punished. And that is not America and North America I know. We'll see you in a minute.
Everyone faces challenges in their lives. Handling it on our own sometimes is too overwhelming, but Turning Point Counseling can help. Turning Point offers the highest quality, individualized, confidential behavioral health care. Our professional and caring staff can help you or your loved one get started on the road to recovery today. Turning Point Counseling, because behavioral health care is health care. Don't wait. Visit our website for more information or call today for care. Everybody faces challenges in their lives. Sometimes these challenges can be too much to handle on our own. That's where Turning Point Counseling can help for depression, anxiety, suicidal thoughts, drug and alcohol abuse and addiction, personality disorders, crisis intervention, and more. Turning Point also provides residential services in our crisis stabilization unit for those who need inpatient care. Turning Point Counseling Services, helping you on the road to recovery.
Do you chronically suffer from a weak immune system? Do you easily get upper respiratory infections, the flu, or a cold during the winter season? Consider Defense Forte and C1000 with bioflavonoids. Our drugless prescriptions are designed to be a perfect antidote to help you overcome these health problems. Contact Mason Wellness Center at 330-219-6250 or visit our website at masonwellness.com.
Your car will look brand new after a professional cleaning at Kingley Hand Wash and Wax. All work is done by hand, which protects the paint, leaves no water spots. You won't believe how good it looks. Walk-ins are always welcome, or book an appointment for a full detailing. Thursday is Ladies' Day. Get an additional service free with any regular wash. Kingley offers pickup and drop-off service. They'll take you to work, an appointment, and pick you up when your car is ready. If it's not Kingley, it's not clean. Kingley Hand Wash and Wax.
Fit Family. Unique. Individualized and promoting a healthy, active lifestyle. Fit Family on Route 46 in Austin Town designs a personal exercise program just for you with your own personal trainer. Each client at Fit Family in Austin Town receives their own certified personal trainer with their membership. And at Fit Family, we listen to you and design a fitness program to the type of fitness you're looking for with all the equipment you need for strength training, cardio, Pilates, and more. We also offer classes in Zumba, yoga, kickboxing, step, 5K training, line dancing, silver sneaker, and real rider cycling. Fit Family is open Monday through Saturday with hours that fit your schedule. Find out more about Fit Family in Austintown. Call 330-793-4466. That's 330-793-4466. Visit us on the web at fitfamily1.com. That's fitfamily1.com.
Let's talk for a moment about a great doctor. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. If you're looking for a doctor to help you with your prenatal needs or help with your decisions or questions about birth control, call 330-746-7007 and talk to Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoney Valley. And read the testimonials at aiwhealth.com.
I could not have had a better experience. Dr. Hill was always attentive to my needs and empathetic when the situation called for that type of sentiment. Dr. Hill's office environment and staff are pleasant and warm. Clearly, a good deal of care has gone into making the visiting experience a good one.
All patients receiving prenatal care get a free designer diaper bag. Dr. Hill at Associates in Women's Health of the Mahoning Valley only has one goal, ensuring your health so you could fully enjoy all of the times of your life. 1350 Fifth Avenue in Youngstown. Call 330-746-7007 and visit aiwhealth.com.
We're back with Tracy and Friends on News Talk 600 WSOM. 347-945-5229 or toll free at 1-800-530-WSOM. Online at tracyandfriends.com or 600WSOM.com.
Clap along if you feel like happiness is the truth. Because I'm happy. Clap along if you know what happiness is you. Hey, hey. Clap along if you feel like that's what you want to do.
Hey, we're back, and you're listening to Tracy and Friends here on WSOM AM 600. The number is 347-945-5229. Six is in studio with me. Hey, Six.
How can you tell if it's raining in Northeast Ohio?
You're playing happy.
We're playing happy.
That's what the you told you. That's the rule. No rain, you can play what you want to play. You can find another happy song. But when it's gloomy and no sun, you get happy. You get Pharrell Williams, get happy. So if you get tired of it, you got to ask God, give you some sunshine so she'll quit playing the happy song.
The number is 347-945-5229. Hey, Pianchi, what's going on with you?
Oh, nobody's talking to me.
Did you push the button?
Yeah, I pushed the button.
Nothing's going
hey,
on.
Hey, everybody
right
left.
Now. I'm
no, they didn't leave.
We had like
Pianchi there, Stanley's there.
I'm listening.
What'd you say, Pianchi?
I'm listening to you, Tracy. How best to learn than listening?
You don't have to learn from me. Just have a conversation with me. But I will say this. You know what? I got to ask you a question. I just saw a posting, and someone posted on Facebook that every time a player says the N-word on the floor, he should be suspended from playing.
Nope, I don't think so.
They did this in they're saying because they protested a man for his comments, and it was a private conversation.
Yeah, that's the one.
It was
thing
it
about this
it was
that
not
keeps
a public conversation. It's a private conversation.
This was a taped private conversation by a scorned woman.
It was a private conversation. It was not a public conversation, and the NBA knew his sentiments because he'd been playing like that for a long time. The private conversation became public, but it was not a public conversation. He did not go down to the Staples Center and said, hey, all y'all colored folk, get out. That's not what he said.
Right. Yeah, we got to remember that. Is
well, you
should
look at...
Is what you say, can what you say in your private house... To somebody
be punishable by
taking away your livelihood.
That ain't a livelihood. That's a.
And because the thing is, it's not like the market took away his livelihood. It's not like people refused to come to the games and stop buying their jerseys. It was basically the government walked in, the government of the organization.
The organization, destruction.
The government,
not the government.
Organization, because a bad press walked in and took away his livelihood.
That wasn't his livelihood. It was his hobby. But he still owned it. It's
still
a possession.
Yeah,
I don't
think
it's a possession.
They're going to force him to sell his private property.
His possession.
Right. Because he said something they didn't like.
Well, if you read the book, What Happened to Michael Jackson, it talks in there about a court case as it talks about what's called the evil side of the entertainment industry.
Yeah.
And it talked about how in some emails that was going back and forth between promoters, William Morris Agency created artists, by the way, who sponsored some things for Magic Johnson, how they used the N-word on Oprah Winfrey, Bill Cosby. They used it in one court document, over 200-some-odd times. And that's, and stuff like that is not never brought to the light.
That's what I'm saying, Pianchi. This is not new. I mean, if you look around, I can tell some stories that'll make your eyeballs curl. The problem is, this was a private conversation. It was private. It's like me getting on the phone with you, Pianchi, and having a private conversation, you recording the conversation, and then leaking it to TMZ and it becoming public. That does not warrant, because I can be the worst person in the world. But you can't punish me for what I say in America because I said it, even if I'm all wrong in what I say. Unless the laws, unless the civil rights, unless the Constitution has changed in America in the last 24 hours, 72 hours.
And some of these law firms like Loeb and Loeb and their executives in their conversation back and forth as they talk about Oprah Winfrey, Bill Cosby, Halle Berry, Will Smith, Denzel Washington, Samuel L. Jackson, Spike Lee, and other noted entertainers and concert promoters. In those correspondence, the N-word was used over 232 times. And Loeb and Loeb has been associated with profiting from slavery way back in the day.
That's what I'm saying. When you go up into the box seat, when you get into the circle and the private, and you know, there are country clubs here that only have two black two members, and they just started letting them in. The only reason why they let you in at Augusta is because Tiger Woods said, I won't play no more. And he was a money belt. But it wasn't because they fell in love with you. They looked at the numbers at the end of the rainbow and said, you know what, I'll play golf here, and then most of them can't afford it anyhow, and don't worry about it, so we'll just let y'all in.
And the complaint is about how when white promoters of events they required to put 0 to 10% down, but the black promoters are required to put 50% or more down on deposit. And
that's
how
what
it
I'm trying
pushed
to say.
And bankrupt a lot of black promoters out of business.
That's what I'm trying to tell you. They're not trying. I mean, this is a business. They're not trying to bring nothing in. They don't want you in. And they got their good old boys club, and they're going to keep it the way they want it. So the question is, what is this going to do? And how you going to slap a man, tell him you got to sell your team for $700 million plus because it's the value of it, yet when you bought the team, you only bought it for $13 million, and you're going to give me a fine of $2.5 million? Big deal.
And it's all Jewish influence. Magic Johnson is involved with the Guggenheim family. Sterling is Jewish. He's head of the owner of the Los Angeles Clippers. And what's the Silverman? He's the head of the National Basketball Association.
I'm just saying. We talked about.
I gave
about,
you a link in that report.
I saw
Tracy.
That.
Yeah, I was looking at it here.
Hey, I'm 267. Your mic is on. I think that's John. Good morning.
Yeah, I was going to say that the NBA basically engaged and a business decision, because this type of talk occurs all the time among men who are wealthy and who are white. They basically don't have too much time for African Americans, and they don't want to be around them that much. So these types of things are known, and currently what's happening is that we're trying to engage in thought police. We're trying to read people's private thoughts, every private conversation, to try to determine who's the person to be exalted or not. And basically, this whole situation was one in which his mistress was trying to extort money out of him. And that's the reason why she was tape recording these conversations.
No, that ain't what we heard.
No. I heard a report that he had actually asked her to tape because he was starting to forget things, which according to South Carolina, in South Carolina, the state of South Carolina, that puts her, by using this against him, as a form of elder abuse.
Oh.
Right. But also I had heard that he had bought her several cars, and he had bought her a condo, a home.
$2.5 million.
His
yeah.
wife was suing her because she said that she was taking advantage of him,
and that he had given her community property, and she had a right to recover community property.
Correct.
Because she didn't give the
right.
authorization for the gifts.
So that don't want to cry
and
with
then also, much. And then also, he was probably afraid that the men that she was posing with in photographs. He was probably afraid that she was having sex with those men.
No,
and
no,
when
because
he saw the
tapes,
photos
no,
of Magic Johnson.
No,
because that's what he said.
Because in the tapes he said, I don't care if you go to bed with them.
Alex, your mic is on.
Hey, Tracy. You know.
Good morning.
Good morning. I guess it's almost noon there. I have to disagree with you about the whole, you know, freedom of speech thing, privacy. now, constitutionally, yes, you're correct. And he should be able to say anything that he wants. And really what he said doesn't bother me at all. People should be free to have whatever associations they have, you know, and
correct.
Affiliations that they want. So constitutionally, nothing wrong with that. He should be able to express whatever he wants. However, he does have an association or an affiliation with the NBA. And
correct.
so he chose that affiliation. And so
correct.
That's and so what he said, I agree with the current chairman that it doesn't matter if what he said was in private or not. What he said is now public, and it now affects his affiliation with the NBA. And so the decision the NBA made was, I think they had to make it, because as much as rich white guys may hate to admit, they need black people, because black people are the lifeblood of the NBA. And so if they ruin that relationship, it will ruin the NBA as a business.
But let me say this, Alex, I agree. So what you can say is, we are going to ban the Clipper organization from the NBA. You understand?
Why should the Clippers be punished for one?
No, because the Clippers is not, the Clippers are owned by the man that owns the Clippers, and he is a part of the Clipper, and the man and the Clippers are a part of the association. The association does not own the Clippers.
It's my understanding there are not stockholders in this organization. It's his and his alone.
Right. So he is an independent agent. So we can actually ban the Clipper organization from the NBA.
No, that's not entirely correct.
Hold on. This is what I'm saying. He owns the Clippers. The NBA does not own the Clipper name, so he can change the name. He can contract their business as he chooses because he owns the Clippers. And they can ban him and the Clipper organization from the NBA. Yes. But when you tell me I'm going to ban you and then make you sell the Clippers to someone else,
right?
That's something different.
I think They can ban anybody that they want to. Yes, he owns
Correct.
The Clippers. It's true that he owns the Clippers, and they can't make him sell it. But if he doesn't sell it, they can.
But Alex, they said, the commissioner said they are going to force him to sell the Clippers.
Correct.
They're going to ban him to sell the Clippers.
They can ban him from all NBA functions. They can ban him from the Clippers from being a part of the NBA, but the man owns the franchise of the Clippers. And the question is, he owns all the rights and all that kind of stuff. What you're doing is you're telling me that I can no longer own something that I own because I'm not a part of your association. Ban me and the Clippers from the association based upon I no longer want to do business with you. State Farm no longer wants to do business with you. Staples Center, I'm going to cancel your contract. You can no longer play here. Player can say, I don't want to play for you. You know, Nike can say, we will no longer service you with tennis shoes. All that kind of stuff can happen.
Tracy, they said that they were going to ban him. The chairman doesn't have the authority to actually even ban him or make him sell the Clippers. What he said he was going to do is go to the governors or vote, because if you listen to what the chairman said, they need, according to the NBA's constitution, they need 3/4 vote, 75% of the vote of governors, to compel him to sell. Now, if he doesn't sell it, then they go forward to ban the Clippers. But you can't compel somebody to sell their team without 3/4 vote. And so all the details has not been figured out yet.
Let me ask you a question. Alex is right, but let me ask you a question, Tracy. Is this a demonstration that we have never seen before? Is this a demonstration?
I was mistaken.
What?
They banned him, and they're fining him $2.5 million.
Right,
and they're going through the procedure under the contract
Correct.
To force him to sell.
Correct, correct. But the issue is,
let me ask you a question.
He's not selling the Clippers, and so now, how do you make
Clippers,
a man sell what he owns?
You can ban
the Clippers from the NBA,
and that's the step they're going to take if he doesn't sell.
Right.
If he doesn't,
but how
sell
do you ban
it,
him
then
from
the
Clippers when he owns the Clippers? You just take him and the Clippers from the NBA and put another team in, have everything. Because what's happening is we are actually getting across, we're crossing the lines of what I disagree with as with what a man owns. He owns the franchise.
Right.
Some players going to be out of a job. But let me ask you a question, Chris. Is this a demonstration of black business power like we've never seen before?
I don't know.
No. Because you got Magic on the sideline, because it's saying that between Magic Johnson, Floyd Mayweather, and some others wants that team. And with Magic owning part of the Los Angeles Dodgers. Now he wants to have part of the Los Angeles Clippers. That would give him a strategic point with entertainment in Southern California.
That is true. I mean, I think it does. Hold on, Philadelphia, wait a minute. I think that's true, but I just don't know to what impact it's going to impact black the economic development of African Americans across this country.
Well, it ain't going to help them all across the country, but look at the blacks, with blacks consisting of 70 to 85% of the National Basketball Association and the silent protest that the players put on. It wasn't verbal. It was just silent. I think that sent the message.
Go ahead, John.
But this was the first time that Michael Jordan has ever spoken out about any type of racial issue inside the NBA. And most of the well-known players of the NBA, this is the first time that most of them have spoken out about anything.
So basically,
what the media is trying to do is engage in some type of thought police where they're able to monitor the thoughts of all of these people who are in positions of power that can affect any type of racial policy in these different institutions. They want to monitor everything these people talk about or think about, and that's not possible.
But the problem is, this is an issue that I have. We're crossing the lines of the man's private conversation because, again, like I said, most people that knew Donald Sterling knew he liked his women, but he didn't like the people around him that looked like him. Go ahead, private caller.
So I'm just going to say I just disagree with you.
You can disagree. I don't mind.
Yeah, I think, if the National Basketball Association wants to take this step to do it and they can get 3/4 of the votes to get him out, I think they should go ahead and do it. I mean,
but
it just seems like every time I listen to this show, everybody – can I finish?
I have a question to ask you.
Everybody wants to support the rich, but they don't care about the poor, the ones who, when they were trying to rent from them, couldn't rent from them. What about all that stuff?
Because let me say this. This is not about his ownership property. This is not about
you. It's not, but to the NBA, it's about everything.
No, it's not. It's about their reputation. This has nothing to do with what has happened in his private business and rental and discrimination. This is all about the NBA, and if they don't come out and say it, they will watch their whole association go up in flames. This is really not. But this is not about
poor people. So they don't want that to happen.
No, listen one thing. This is not about poor people.
Because
they're not
going to
do this. We're talking about a bunch of rich white people and a couple sprinkles of black folks.
No matter what, you're
not hurting him financially. He's 82 years old. He'll be worth $500 million more.
Listen, what I'm saying.
Yeah, he's going to walk away with $500 million in a private island. How are you hurting him?
You're not hurting him. As far as I'm concerned, it shouldn't be. I don't care if he makes $10 billion. But he shouldn't be in there. That's what I'm saying.
Listen, honey, sweetie, you're right. He shouldn't be there. And there's a better way to skin this cat. But to step on your constitutional rights and make this a precedent, because that's what we're doing.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. It's a bad deal.
This is not about the government.
This is not about the government. But what you're doing is you're taking away a man's property based upon a private conversation. And if you can do that at that level of the game, if you can take away a man's property because of a private conversation and he is that wealthy, what will they do to you?
Tracy, I think you're just far-fetched. His rights are not being violated at all. This is all – anything that's happening to him is based on existing contracts that he has signed with the NBA. So what you're talking about is I feel it's irrelevant. It has nothing to do with his constitutional rights.
You know more about this contract thing than I do. I haven't read up on it, Alex. What happens if they vote to tell him to sell the Clippers and he says no? He refuses to transfer deed. What do they do to him then?
Then they will do what Tracy said, is they will strip they'll basically remove the Clipper organization out of the NBA at that point. But
no,
it
don't. It goes into court. Then.
No, it goes to court.
It goes to court. Then guess what? The United States Congress has been trying to bring the NBA and other organizations like that under what is it? What do they call it? Sticks?
Antitrust.
Antitrust. There you go. They've been trying to bring them under antitrust control, and Katie barred the door after that.
Every professional.
I hear what you're saying, Alex, but check it out.
Whether it's NBA or NFL, that each team is voted in or voted out by the board of governors, by the owners. So they could vote out the Chicago Bulls and they will no longer be in the NBA. That's already in the Constitution and the NBA bylaws.
Okay.
They can do that at any time.
I don't see anything
the
wrong
NBA
with that.
The NBA bylaws cannot violate this man's constitutional rights.
But what I'm saying is, how can they force him to sell his property? That's what this boils down to.
That's my question.
They can vote him out of the club. I'm not disputing that. But there are people saying he should be forced to sell his property.
That's the question.
They can't do that.
But Alex, their aim is to make him forced to sell.
They can compel him to sell.
No, this is not a compel to sell. This is a forced to sell. They're going to vote. When I read it this morning and when I looked it online this morning, what they're doing is they're going to vote. And he's probably going to get it's going to be all but one vote, because I'm not quite sure how many franchises are part of it. And the owners have to vote. Hold on, Philadelphia. They all have to vote. It's going to go down all to one. He's probably not going to vote to sell. And they may try to make a good faith effort to make sure this goes away so that there will not be a lawsuit. But what I'm saying is to force the sale based upon a private conversation. It would have been better for them just to ban the Clippers, turn the lights out on the Clippers, and then allow Magic to actually institute another team himself.
It would cost the NBA more money to do that. So they're trying to transfer. They're trying to transfer the property. I mean,
I would try to
do the same thing too.
But you're trying.
It would
you're
cost
trying,
more money to
Alex,
build another brand.
You're trying
it
listen,
cost a
to
lot.
Build it. Listen. You can call them the Los Angeles Flippers, and you can put them back inside of the Staples Center, and they will know that they will have transferred. Oh, no. Hold on. This is what I'm saying. Listen to what I'm saying. Let me get this out now. Shut up. Listen, because giving him $700-plus million is not hurting the man. You're not doing anything. All you're doing is stepping on the rights of American freedoms be based upon a private conversation. What I'm saying is shut the lights up and force him to go down in flames.
In his contract as an owner.
It doesn't matter if there's a moral clause.
There's a moral clause in everybody's contract that's affiliated with the NBA.
Absolutely.
So there's no constitutional rights being trampled upon here.
Alex, if you force a man to sell based on a private conversation, the one I'm going to have with you later on this evening, if you record it and make it public.
Doesn't matter.
It does matter.
It really doesn't. No, it
doesn't.
It
does matter.
Well,
why
Alex, let me ask you a question. Under what standing do you say it doesn't matter? Tracy is based in the United States Constitution. So what standing are you basing that it doesn't matter?
I don't think her argument is based on the Constitution. The thing is
the
that
14th and the 4th, 5th Amendment of the United States Constitution allows people due process. So based on your saying it doesn't, how?
Because people are free to make are free to enter any agreements and associations that they want to. And Sterling entered into an agreement with the NBA. So he's subject to that contract that he signed with the NBA.
You're right.
I don't know
what's
so hard to understand.
And so what I'm saying is to ban him and the Clippers from the association, but do not force a man to sell his property. Turn the lights out. Don't sponsor him. Don't go to his games. Don't sell him nothing. Just make him go away. But actually make him sell.
They're not forcing him to do that. They're not forcing
him. But courts have voided contracts that was proven to violate a person's constitutional rights. I mean, it's the Constitution that even permits the NBA to even enter into private contracts like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, yeah, I think we're on the same page, only different a little bit, Alex. What Tracy and I and you seem to be saying is go ahead, use the language in the contract, tell him he can't play, tell him his people can't play, and then just walk away. And if he wants to sell, let him sell. If he don't want to sell, then there's no more LA Clippers. We'll just assign that spot to the Youngstown Ironworkers.
Yeah. That's, and what I'm saying, but forcing him to sell, and they're going to, the vote is to force the sell.
And I agree with Alex. You know, those contracts can make the players wear suits like they have to do when they're not on the court and so on and so on and so on. But we're talking about taking away somebody's property. And
that's why I say ban the Clippers, because that'll really hit it to his wallet. He'll be forced to pay all the players out of his own pocket at that point.
There you go. I'm saying ban the Clippers. Ban, you know, make him pay. But $2.5 billion is pocket change for a billionaire. $700,000 in his pocket is not helping you out the cause. If you want to hurt a man, cut his throat.
Well, they would only be paid for the last game they played.
They can sue him if he don't pay his players. He's reaching the contract at that point if he don't play him.
That's what I'm saying.
Because they're not refusing to play. He's refusing to give them a venue.
That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. Kidding where it hurts, but don't make him sell it, make a profit, go up in the wind. It's like Imus. Imus didn't lose any money because he was under contract. They canceled his contract, they paid him, and he's on radio again. Hello, I'm still trying to get where Imus is.
He's probably making more money than he was when he got
See what
trouble.
I'm saying?
No.
And Imus didn't say nothing that rappers don't say every day.
Tracy, what you're saying is actually a little bit backwards, because now you want to hurt the man for what he said in a private conversation. When
absolutely.
Well, I don't agree with that, Tracy.
I'm not here to condone what he did. I'm here to make you pay for how you feel, but how I make you pay is by hurting your
that's
pocket.
Wrong,
I am not here to pay you.
Exactly.
For, no.
How are we
going to
make Texas pay for what he said?
No. This business. I'm not here to make you rich on how you feel. I'm here to make you pay for what you said. You said it, now you got to pay the piper.
Yeah, but only certain people are offended. It really ain't the players. They've been playing under those conditions forever and ever.
No,
so what
they
say,
like it.
What he say nope. really is irrelevant. Like, they trying to get players to stop using the N-word on the battlefield. So,
but again,
come on now.
Again, if you're trying to make somebody pay for something, then you're supposed to actually make, you know, when you have punitive damages inside of a courtroom, it's to make you pay for what you did.
Well, the $2.5 million is just window dressing. That's just window dressing. You got two segments going on here. You got public opinion, which is based on emotion, want to hurt the man. Then you got the other side, which is businessmen that's trying to work something out where somebody is going to profit. And I can practically name the people I think is going to either be Magic Johnson or maybe even Floyd Mayweather.
Listen, it's going to be both of them, because both of them are going to, they're going to shell up some money and they're going to buy it off of him, and we're going to think that we did something and we haven't done anything at all. Magic Johnson owning another team is not going to help the bottom line.
And it's not Magic Johnson by itself.
And let me
say
this way. It's the
Guggenheim family,
which
really is close
to
me here.
But if the man ain't shelling out no money to the NAACP or any other community groups or whatever they're doing, helping the infrastructure of Black America, then all you're doing is transferring wealth. Transferring wealth does nothing to the bottom line to change racism in America. But if you're going to play in this game, then we need to play it and do it a whole lot better. With you guys on
well,
Small God, bless
you
and have a good day.
This is Tracy and Friends. Listen.
I agree with what you're saying, but Magic Johnson is not in it by himself. He's along with
the
Grudenheim.
I don't agree
at all. The Grudenheim family, which is some agonizing Jews, and their office is not too far from my house, maybe about 15 minutes. They're in Clayton.
Well, basically, in that area of Los Angeles, that's who runs Los Angeles, is the Ashkenazi Jews. I mean, if you go to L.A., that's all you see. Is the different types of synagogues all over the place, and different centers of Kabbalah centers and all that stuff is all over L.A.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the people. Those are the people who are running That part of
running sports, entertainment industry
yeah.
also. Look how black promoters are mistreated, where they have to put up 50-75% deposit on a concert where whites put up 0-10%.
Right. But the whole thing is these types of conversations are conducted in private all the time.
Oh, sure.
And what's happening now is the media is basically causing the major division between the races by trying to blow up these incidents in the news. And, you know, it's leading to all types of racial division in the country.
And listening to her, his mistress, I mean, come on, you can hear that this woman is trying to press an issue on him to say something he never said. So you have to wonder, is her lawyer behind this? I wonder who her lawyer is. I bet his name has ending S-T-E-I-N behind it also.
Well, I would also think that
yeah.
I would think she's being backed up by other business people who want to buy the Clippers too.
Yeah.
Do you think that got to do more than because if you listen to the whole thing, you start going into talking about how over in Israel
No, you're
black,
right. Now, see, there you go.
So I think it's
how do you treat blacks over there?
Right.
So you're absolutely right. You're absolutely right.
Yeah, you know, I think that guy Sterling, he was a lot of what he was saying was the truth, and just what people think. But many, especially rich people, what they think, but just you know, they just don't say. And I think that in his old age, like many old people, as people age, they become less concerned about political correctness in their speech. And I think that's just all it is. I didn't see anything particularly.
No,
wrong with what he said. You know, he was really just expressing a reality. Yeah, I mean, white people don't like to be around too many black people. And if they do, they just have maybe one black friend, but not too many of them. And he's just expressing a reality. And so,
and if you had a mistress, what would you do if you had a mistress and you was giving her about $15,000 or $25,000 a month? And she's out there sitting in black people's lap, men's lap, taking pictures with them and all that stuff.
Magic Johnson. And then the whole thing with Magic Johnson and HIV, he probably didn't want to catch a disease if she was sleeping with Magic Johnson.
Yeah, you're right. Hey, but check this out, y'all. Listen, now everybody complained about him and him being a slum landlord. But think about this. Now, in those projects and things, the tenants of those projects do tear up those houses. But what came out of that? Section 8, it was revised to where you not only get the vouchers, but if the tenant tears up the house, the government has to repair it back to where it was before the tenant moved in.
Right.
So they making off like a fat rat all over again.
Yeah. But if he was dealing with any kind of luxury apartments, he has the right to check the credit, to check the income history.
That's just a warehouse. All right.
John,
so it's not just race that that comes into play.
I got a Jewish area here in my community, and they got some apartments I think go like $3,000 a month. Guess what? Some of them on Section 8.
Mm-hmm.
I ain't shitting you, man. These apartments are got copper roofs. I mean, they're elegant. I mean, they're beyond elegant. And they some of them fall under Section 8.
But also it's the thing that a lot of people have the perception that if they're dealing with a Hispanic or a black tenant, that the person's going to tear up the property. So, you know, you also have to deal with that as well.
Well, you know, you can use some historical content to show that that may be the case when you're talking about with poor people. But the thing it is, man, is that you just see where, you know, that book that the Nation of Islam put out, The Secret Relationship Between Blacks and Jews?
Yeah.
You need to read that again.
Most people realize that the Jews have been merchants all over the world, so they probably were involved in the slave trade. I wouldn't doubt it.
Oh, yeah, and that company that's mentioned in that one article, Loeb & Loeb was also brought up in a lawsuit on reparations, because back in the day, way back in the day, they made money from insuring slaves.
Right.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it. I wouldn't doubt that that had occurred, because that was the reason why the Jews were thrown out of Germany, because Hitler was saying that they controlled all the money, they controlled all the banks, and that they were causing the German economy to collapse.
You need me to take something out, Sue?
So it's just it is just something else to see the same relationships, the same connections, the same entities, damn near the same name, family, and so on and so on, that's continue to have impact even today in 2014.
Yeah. Well, that's the way it goes. The more things change, the more they stay the same.
I mean, I know that.
Yeah. But, you know, you can say too, man, you start to see – when you start looking at the – when you pull back the curtain and see who's sitting at the table, you start to see black faces sitting at the table now, especially when you start getting in that $100 million, $200 million club.
But the only way that African-Americans are going to gain anything in this world, they have to get into a position where they want to go back to Africa and help the Africans to develop their economies over there. Because each person in America is going to be judged – from the places that they come from.
Yeah.
So, you know, so therefore, if you're African-American and the state of Africa is very bad in terms of the global economy, then African-Americans are going to be judged by that standard.
And what do they do with this mistress? Now, she regularly broke the law. Where is that out of? California? Somebody's getting another state. Wasn't that recording his house in California?
Yeah, it was in California. The mistress is like Hispanic and black. She's mixed.
Yeah, but the thing is that California's got a law that says if you record a conversation, you got to get permission for everybody that's involved before you release that recording.
Oh yeah, right. That's a
broken record.
But that law has to do with any type of wiretapping. Like if you're doing any type of illegal wiretapping, you can't do that, and you can't.
Well,
that's when it becomes a
wiretap according to the courts.
Right.
When you record somebody and don't tell them, now you wiretapping,
right,
and you fall upon
you
those laws.
Yeah.
So she's standing to be prosecuted and do some damn jail time.
Well, see, I think that she's being backed by business owners that want to take over the Clippers, and she probably has her lawyer is involved in it as well. So she's not doing all this by herself. That's the reason why you don't hear her talking in any of the TV interviews yet.
And the way she was,
she's not saying
the way she was pressing the issue. Why do you hate minorities? I love everybody, he said. Then she, after a while later, she come back with it again. Well, how do you hate these people? They work for you. So, yeah, this woman was, I mean, Donald Trump, who would know, said that he was set up.
Right, he was set up. Yeah, he was set up. That's no doubt.
Now, I understand what Alex is saying also. You're absolutely right. Some people under contract, players under contract, owners under contract. But there's a lot of facets to this particular recent event. You got the emotions of the public.
What they're probably going to do is to force them to sell, like he was saying. They're going to make the Board of Governors vote in like a three, like the majority of them vote to have the charter of the team taken out of Los Angeles. So he's going to be forced to sell.
Well, I'd be interested
to
see
like
what happens.
So, I mean, like you're going to get like a three-quarter – of the governors to vote to have that team taken out of that city, he that would force him to sell his ownership in the team.
I wish somebody would do this in Major League Baseball, so we can get more Black Americans back in Major League Baseball, man. Because and I know that shit goes on all the time in Major League Baseball.
Well, see, but the problem with Major League Baseball, it costs a lot of money to get into baseball. You got to buy helmets and bats and gloves, and a lot of African Americans don't have the money to spend.
Well,
on
you know, for these boys club, all this stuff is given to us, John. Like we have a university that donate all their bats every year. Universities buy new bats. All their old bats they donate, given to them boys and girl club. Rawlings give away gloves and helmets and uniforms and nothing but T-shirt and pants. So, no, it don't cost that much to get into baseball.
But,
a lot of stuff is given away.
But also, I think African-Americans aren't drawn to it because the pace of the game is not fast. When you're dealing with football and basketball, it's a fast-paced game. It's very exciting. A lot of African-American boys don't find baseball to be exciting.
Well, they need to look at the money. Now, you can get into expense because it costs – I spend about $1,000 a month for my grandson, you know, whether it's gloves, this, that, or the other. But that's when you participate with elite clubs and going to training centers and so forth. But a young kid can be trained very well, whereas when time comes for them to go to high school, they will be able to make the high school team. And
right.
From there on. You know, from there on when they position themselves to go into, the college teams. On these historical black universities and colleges, all them baseball teams, it's white players that's occupying those teams.
Well, see, the only reason why baseball is able to flourish in Latin America is because those countries sponsor those players and they teach them from a young age. So, like, if you're in Puerto Rico or Cuba or the Dominican Republic, those players are sponsored when they're very young, and they basically bring them up. But I think it's the cost factor that keeps a lot of African American families out of baseball now, because it's easier to pick up a basketball, and a basketball is in every neighborhood.
Well, you're right. We got to do what we got to do to get
sure.
our kids back into this sport because there's a lot of money being left on the table.
Yeah. I think at this point the African-American basketball players need to think about getting into ownership because they have paid their dues in the game. And I think it's time for more of them who were superstars to get into ownership groups and start to own some of these teams.
I agree with you. They
yeah.
need to get some of them Sterlings out of the way completely. You know, there's rumors that they should start their own league. I don't know about that because that's kind of hard to do.
Right, that's hard to do. And
you
then,
know, you
got to
have
then,
the support.
And then you also want to make sure that the game is like played by people all over the world too. So if they start their own league, then the majority of them are going to start to segregate themselves by race again.
Huh?
And if you're trying to promote a sport all over the world, you definitely don't want to have a segregated league.
Well, I agree with you.
You're trying to have an international sport.
But, you know, I tell you something else, too. You can start some leagues on the continent of Africa and some of them countries, like Nigeria and
yeah.
Ghana. Man, them countries are – I mean, Nigeria is closely approaching 200 million people, and they are beginning to develop. They are a little bit below and maybe behind China, but they're beginning to develop, and that there is a whole new frontier.
Yeah. But the thing is, Africa needs to start to develop people who are billionaires, and they need to start to bring some type of manufacturing to Africa so that products that are sold all over the world can be sold out of Africa. That's what Africa needs to develop itself into, more of a capitalist power in terms of the global economy.
Silly who?
There you go.
Because that is what brought Asia up, was the fact that they were able to develop billionaires in Asia.
Well, that's all it's
to develop manufacturing in Asia. And that's what brought Asia to the fore in terms of any kind of international business. Africa is going to have to do the same.
Yep.
Man, I tell you, once you get into the clutches of some of these folks, some of these clans, some of these groups, they do not want to let you go. But you got to put up a fight, a struggle, all means necessary. Look at that Leeches NAACP and the behind-the-back scenes that they're doing. They want to have a meeting, NAACP, Al Sharpton's group, the Action Network, the Urban League, and one other group want to have a meeting with Silverstein on this issue with the L.A. Clippers. They're trying to get in there and grease their palms, too. That's what's going down.
Well, but, see, the NAACP is getting Jewish money anyway. And the NAACP knew that this man had views because this was not the first time he was up to get a Lifetime Achievement Award. He had gotten one before.
You and your husband making all that money.
The NAACP,
he had these racial views.
You can't spend $20.
The NAACP is there for a mouthpiece and also to keep, quote-unquote, the slaves calm on the plantation.
Well, by playing these stories in the media, this is just going to cause all types of racial division.
Freezer. Yeah.
You know, this is causing racial division in the country.
Half a character.
Well, it might cause backlash from whites who are the major ticket holders at these games.
Because the tickets are like upwards of $150, $200 most of these basketball games. So most of the people who are going to the games are Caucasian. Because the only way most black people see the games is on television. Because they can't afford to go to the games.
And the way that they're able to see it on television is that corporations that sell products, which is conducive to the black community, is buying advertising time. Your cars, cigarettes, liquor, clothing, insurance.
Well, we're basically in a cycle now where the media is playing an underhanded game. They're trying to show the level of frustration with black people in the media so that the Hispanics would tend to want to separate themselves from African Americans. And then what's going to happen further down the line is the conservative party or people who are Republicans are going to try to force the Hispanic vote. And if they're able to get the Hispanic vote, and if they're able to count the Hispanics as, you know, almost like they're white people to a certain extent, then they wouldn't have problems trying to win like any kind of a national election in the future. Because that's the whole debate now is Caucasians think they can count the majority of the Latinos as white? And if they think they can, then they would make an attempt to try to open up the Republican Party and place them in it.
Mention it. Just don't signal it.
And well,
they
do that with other immigrants.
As Republicans, then they could put up people like the guy who's the senator from Texas. They could put him up as a candidate, and he would have a good shot of trying to win like any kind of
You mean like Bobby Jindal down in Louisiana?
You know,
but John, check this out. They had a Egyptian who sued to be black because they classified them as white, and this was a Nubian. His name was, I can't think of his name. You probably heard us talk about it before. And you're absolutely right. When Egyptians and some of these other ethnic groups, immigrants come here, they are classified as white. This one guy said, no, I'm black, so that he could take advantage of affirmative action and other programs that gave blacks, you know, an equal footing, whereas they could compete.
Right. Basically, all of North Africa is considered to be part of the Middle East, so it doesn't matter what the question is. Those people are considered to be white.
Huh?
Right,
so
when
like
they come here, they consider to be
people
white.
Who were Nubians, if you're talking about people who were Nubians, even though their skin is dark, because they consider themselves to be Arabs, they're counted as white. So, you know, but I think what they have to do is they have to make sure that they, you know, if they go to an institution or they apply for something, they have to make sure that they're able to identify themselves as being an immigrant from this particular country, and then that company or that school is going to count them as a person who's Caucasian and not count
well,
them
right.
as black.
Right, but if they became citizen, you know, they can play both sides of the fence. If a black person became a citizen from Egypt, or should I say a person with black skin like Nubian, well, they would be entitled to go into the door like you and I go in.
Right.
But they also can go in the door in that because they would be considered white.
Right.
So it's a political game.
Yeah.
It's not simple. It's complicated. It's best to know what's going on so that you can benefit from it and not be hurt from it.
Yeah. Well, I guess that's the end of the show.
Show
so,
been off.
All right.
I want to see what happens to this mistress. I'll talk to you later, John.
All right.
All right.
What's up, ladies?
It is an ortho patient. Had a break total hip done on 3/20. Again, started here in tomorrow. You're seeing the 5 and there. Thanks.
How you doing?
I'm okay. How about you?
All right. On this one, you want $1?
Yeah, I want one of these.
The drain?
Yeah, I think I'm
okay.